Don and Mike Show.
Now, Buzz, let's talk about your surgery.
All right.
Your colon exploded.
Ruptured is the right word.
Who knows what caused it?
That crazy sex act.
But something caused a hole to appear and then rip open.
Was it a bowling trophy, Buzz?
No, it wasn't a bowling trophy.
Okay.
It's a fair question, but it wasn't a bowling trophy.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I want to play you a tape now.
All right.
This is a funny tape. This is a really funny tape. I don't know how well this is going to translate on the radio,
okay,
but we just about busted God watching this videotape before the show today.
And I'll be honest, I get this question a lot. I really do about, where are they now? I really do. And, this answers that question for people in the Washington, D.C. area.
There's a disc jockey who we used to feud with named the Grease Man.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy works for our company. As a matter of fact, we were always pissed at this guy because the company gave this guy every break in the world.
Yeah, real sweet deal.
They put this guy on in New York, L.A., Philly, D.C., on big high-power FM stations.
Right.
They syndicated his show. Guy couldn't get a ratings point to save his life, so they canned him. They ended up putting him on this crappy classic rock station here in D.C. where he got no ratings.
Right.
And he finally got fired when he made some insensitive racial comments. I won't get into what he did, but
okay. Most
people know what the Grease Man did to dig himself in this hole.
But he's been in Washington. He had been in Washington for a long time, and people have said, happened to that guy?
I've got a winner on the phone.
Okay.
Now that I see it on the screen, this guy has the answer. The lamest program in the history of ESPN. Is this Tim?
Yes, it is, buddy.
Tim, tell everybody what they were running on ESPN.
It was the gayest thing. Jump roping.
Championship jump roping.
Bravo!
That's what I wanted to remember to tell you.
That's in the true spirit of the original ESPN all the way. That's really what ESPN started with by covering.
I mean,
their whole philosophy was put, if it's even slightly sports related,
Mike, they've been on for 20 years
now. I know.
I mean,
they had young men doing it, and they looked... They're going to be damaged.
You are right. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to give you a prize.
Thank you very much.
Hold on a second. You get a Soprano shirt from HBO. Hold on,
please. Thank you, sir.
Hold on. That was it.
Jump roping.
That's the lamest.
Were they doing double dutch?
ESPN jump roping. No. Just guys.
Oh, really?
Jumping rope.
Well, that's boring.
They weren't doing any fancy stuff.
Now, it would be funny if it was fat guys jumping rope.
That's a series, Mike.
Can you imagine that?
That's not an ESPN show. That's like on Comedy Central.
Overweight celebrity jump roping, okay? Now bring in, ladies and gentlemen, today, Nell Carter will be attempting to jump rope for 10 minutes.
With Queen Latifah.
Fantastic.
Who can go the longest?
Here's Louis Anderson now. He's going to be doing a half hour on the next fat celebrity jump roping.
I don't think that Louis Anderson could jump rope once.
No, I don't think so. That would be the funny part, but he'd keep trying and tripping and trying and tripping.
So listen, everybody asks us, what happened to this disc jockey? The Grease Man, right?
Right.
Okay, well, this guy got fired by CBS, and he's out of the radio business now. No one will touch this guy because he's been banned a racist. So, came into work today, and John Pop, who produces the G. Gordon Liddy Show, he said, I've got a videotape you guys got to see. John Pop is a creature of the night, and John Pop was up at 2:30 in the morning over the weekend.
You happened to stumble across an infomercial.
Ah. An infomercial for an online dating service.
One of those .coms, one of those websites.
Mm-hmm. And this is a cheesy, crappily produced, poor lighted, poor microphone. Everything about this is second rate to production on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
For matchmaker.com. And this disc jockey, who we know, the Grease Man, He's playing a guy called Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Dr. Chip Bandwidth, who is offering comic relief for the two hosts. He's not the host of the show. He's the comic foil for the little infomercial.
Now, keep in mind, this is a guy, there is no love lost between us and this guy.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add.
I mean, we competed against this guy for 10 years. We had big problems when the company hired him and gave him all these opportunities that wouldn't give us.
Right. You would think that perhaps there would be some attempt to modify his rap, going on an infomercial to perhaps, reinvent himself. For those of you that might have wondered whether he did that, well, you'll hear the tape because that hasn't been done. You're getting the exact same act that was heard here in Washington.
And you've got to see him. As I mentioned, it's low rent, low production value, very poorly lit, bad audio, bad video. But apparently they don't even have the money for a comb.
Right.
Because, like, his hair's going a million different ways.
Yep.
And his necktie is on sideways. And much as I laughed at it, I found myself after we watched it really kind of feeling sorry for the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's play it now without further ado. Here is the Grease Man in his infomercial.
Party, and you say to her, how's that Save the Baby Seals campaign going? I know, it affects me profoundly, too. And you sit there typing in your chinchilla bathrobe. You can make a note that she had cute dimples, or you can make a note that her birthday's coming up. The diary helps you remember everything, so they know that, well, frankly, the most important thing in dating is honesty. And once you can fake...
Let me just give you the format of the show. The format is that there's a guy and a girl who are working for this .com company.
Okay. They're the hosts, and they bring up the different people from the audience that are single and looking for love. And then there's a lady off on the other side that is the computer expert.
They describe her as the Gen X foil.
Yes, the Gen X foil.
Right. She's like the evil opposite of this disc jockey.
And then off to stage left for comic relief.
Yeah, it's Grease Man. And the whole thing is a cheaply produced attempt to make this blatant commercial look like you're watching some kind of a dating game television show.
Right.
But it's really not. It's obviously a way to get you to go on this website, pay your $25, and see if you can meet people.
Right. Right.
And it's sad. Now, he's giving some of his expert analysis. Oh, and they have him wearing a medical doctor's coat.
He's wearing a lab coat, and it just... Yeah, God.
They know that, well, frankly, the most important thing in dating is honesty. And once you can fake that, you got it made. You might want to type in two safety things like, this one has a gargantuan boyfriend and should be avoided at all costs.
Yeah. Well, you think about how the diary and zip functions are used. Let's go over to Sean and let's meet our first guest.
Thank you, Linda. And, Chip, stay away from members. We have big boyfriends, okay?
Did you notice the host? What is his speech pattern? What is this accent?
I don't know
contrived?
If
it's hard to place.
Australian, right. British, something
There's
like that.
There's something there.
Yeah, there is some kind of an accent there. Listen carefully.
We're from Chip, too.
Already zipped him up.
Okay, good.
Hey.
With me now is Nova 855. Welcome to the show, Nova. Come on.
Robbie, is that that ugly pig?
Yes,
the fat lady. This lady... 20 pounds of sugar packed into a 15-pound bag is this lady they have up on stage. If you couldn't come up with a better representative for this online dating service, if I'm watching this, if this pig is the best that they could come up with...
And the Grease Man just waits for the dull moments, the lulls in the conversation, and there are many, to put his two cents in there.
And all he does is the same stupid jokes that
same
he
act.
Did. The same jokes when he played records.
That's
listen,
it.
Just listen. Here it is.
Right. Nova is a nurse, and you also have a daughter. She's out of the house. She's in college now, though, right?
Yeah.
So how long have you been on Matchmaker?
Almost a month.
Almost a month.
I'm a newcomer.
Newcomer? You like it?
I love it.
Yeah?
I
been training a lot of emails with people?
I have. I've had so much fun.
Did you have fun filling out the profile, though?
I did. I had a lot of fun on the essay.
Oh, yeah?
I really enjoyed reading your profile. We got something in common. I saw that it said that you, when you were growing up, you wanted to be a pilot.
Yes.
Why did...
All right. Back this up, Robbie.
Yeah, here we go.
This is maybe...
For those of you that might think that, that he's trying something new...
This is maybe the oldest electric weenie disc jockey joke service joke in the world. I'm not kidding.
Right.
In the world. Here you go. And this is typical of what Dr. Chip Bandwidth offers on this infomercial.
I did. I had a lot of fun on the essay.
I really enjoyed reading your profile. And we got something in common. I saw that it said that you, when you were growing up, you wanted to be a pilot.
Yes.
Why didn't you do it?
Well, I was a girl. You know, back then, in the old days, back then, girls
weren't
pilots.
Oh, come on. The last flight I took, I was sitting there. I used to fly in the military. And I said to the flight attendant, I said, can I talk to the pilot? Flight attendant said, she's not here yet. I said, well, how about the co-pilot? She said, she's not here yet either. I said, the flight engineer, she's not here yet either. I said, well, could I at least see the cockpit? Lady said, we don't call it that anymore. Nikki, you ever involved yourself in the
Mile High
Club?
Yeah, there he is.
No way. Those bathrooms are so small. My little butt will get sucked right through that toilet. No way I'm doing that.
See what he's doing now? Now he's talking to the woman who's on the other side of the stage.
Yeah.
This woman who they've described as a Gen Xer, who is supposed to be the yin to his yang.
You notice how he threw in that thing? He used to fly for the military.
Right.
Just slightly toned down. Yes, back there when I was Sergeant Fury.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll have to remember that. Anyway, so, have you been on any dates yet?
Not yet. I had one arranged, and both of us were sick this week.
Oh, no.
So we're going to reschedule.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I've talked to them.
I'm just curious, do you have any particulars? We've had people on the show say, I won't respond to an email unless the person I'm browsing, they have a picture I can look at. Do you have that same kind of...
I really like the pictures. Mm-hmm. It really is important. So I would recommend
that. As opposed to the pictures.
Get a picture.
This is so embarrassing. I like the pictures. This whole process is embarrassing.
I like it very much.
Well, here's the deal. If there's someone that sounds interesting, and they haven't scanned a picture, but you still want to meet them, but you want an out, you could conceivably show up at the meeting place, they're wearing the red rose and the lapel, and then if they're hideous, intolerable, completely undoable, I mean repulsive, you could run up and say, I just came to tell you I can't make it, I've had an emergency come up, I didn't want to leave you standing here, I just wanted to take you the time for coming, I gotta go, the hearse should be arriving anytime soon, but you take care, and I love you for coming, and I gotta scoot.
There he is. Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
You know what's truly horrifying about it is they're painting him to be the computer expert. That's
right.
His role.
Sure.
He's like the guy that runs the whole dating service. So the genius behind this thing is going to turn your life around. Is
sure.
This is awful. This is embarrassing, man.
Essentially, now he's doing his morning show at night.
That's right. Have you heard? I'm doing my morning show at night. You want to go talk to a guy who claims he ran the teleprompter during that tape?
Sure.
Okay, hello. Scott?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. You were really there for the taping of this awful infomercial?
Oh, it was absolutely horrible.
Where was it done?
I do part-time teleprompting. This was at Atlantic Video. They're a big video production company in D.C.
Right.
And I came in to do the shoot, and they're only shooting 27 minutes worth of tape. And it was so terribly done that it took them almost 4.5 hours to get the thing done.
Wow.
And, like, they had their live audience got up and left halfway through. It was an absolute nightmare.
I mean, I can't do this justice. I can't describe the cheesy look of this, how poorly lit it is, how bad the audio is, how the pacing is just not there. And the funniest thing is this guy, Grease Man, who's supposed to be the computer expert.
Right.
He has no stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they go to him, he looks like he should be a disc jockey standing in front of a microphone doing a bit to a microphone.
Yeah, never, you know, I think people have wondered, you know, whatever happened to, and, you know, now...
There's the answer.
We have the answer.
He's on an infomercial at 2:30 in the morning, pretending he's a Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Entertaining John Pop.
Yeah. I don't know who's more pathetic, Grease Man for taking that job,
yeah,
or John Pop for being up in the middle of the night to tape it, or you and me for taking that tape and then playing it on our show.
You will admit, though, it falls into the so bad it's good category.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All the way, dear.
Absolutely. So what was the Grease Man like to work with on this project?
I mean, he was hilarious. He was the same guy he always is with, you know, the Hop of the Gee and all of that ridiculous stuff for basically 4 hours. I mean, he never really came out of character. I don't know, if he ever comes out of character.
We've met him, and I have not seen him really out of that character.
I guess that's just the way he is.
Did he appear to be real down on his luck? I mean, I've got to think that, you know, being in radio, certainly, as we've mentioned before, it's the lowest rung of showbiz.
Right.
You don't get much lower. However, I think we're going to have to add a new bottom rung.
Infomercials.
To that showbiz.
I believe so. Infomercials might add, there might be a chance that infomercials are below us on the show business ladder.
How did his mood appear? Did it seem like this was his last stop on the entertainment carousel?
Well, his enthusiasm was way up high. I think he was, I don't know whether he was trying, this is going to be his big comeback, or I don't know, but he was trying to be really enthusiastic about it.
Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm your computer expert.
Yeah.
Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Cockpit. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, sure thing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, we have him on the show. He's got everything. You got everything you need to know.
Well, it's a dangerous game out there. You guys look at this dating thing as it's nice to meet you, it's nice to meet you. It's like a battle plan. You got to lay down your plan of action. Contingencies. What happens? Hideous mole on the end of the nose. Extraction. Target acquisition. Nice tatas, good butt. Bad breath. Next
oh, my God.
You guys are looking at it too frivolously. You got to plan this stuff for your ultimate satisfaction.
Absolutely. And speaking of satisfaction, what would be your perfect date?
Who is this guy?
I would think I would like to meet first.
Oh, of
just
course.
To get over.
After he sees the pictures.
I think that, their chemistry there.
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Oh, God.
I tell you, when I finally get fired from radio, whether it be for a racial epithet or whether it be just because I can't get ratings, I will go sell shoes. I promise you. I will be taking tolls on the Bay Bridge.
You go quietly.
Before you see me doing something like this.
All the strolling in the country, you guys must have stock in the mosquito repellent. Whatever happened to a quiet restaurant? Everybody wants to be by the water, by the lake. You end up with Lyme disease, for crying out loud.
Oh, no.
For crying out loud.
Maybe even hold hands. You don't have to be. Something light and easy, you know.
Well, don't listen to him. Like, he's Mr. Romantic over there in his blue coat. And what the hell are you talking
about? It's the Mile High Club man over here. That's what we're talking about.
Romantic.
He spends a fortune in plane tickets, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I just
wonder how awful that is. I mean, there's no pacing on this show.
For love and romance?
On this show. I mean, on this commercial.
Infomercial. Not even commercial. Infomercial.
I was really, because of my age, I'm looking at,
in my pictures.
The maturing.
Everybody we showed this tape to today, absolutely bust a gut laughing.
It's truly amazing. Everybody was wondering.
It's going to be one of those tapes that gets dubbed off, and everybody at the radio station is going to leave with a copy of this.
Sure,
today.
Absolutely.
And then they will,
Thank you so much for being on the show, Nova. We really appreciate it. When we
thank
come
you.
Right back.
Oh, okay. Hold one more
is
last
this
thing.
The promo? Is this the promo?
This is where they do like a fake commercial in the middle of this show,
right?
Talking about this website and also
Dr. Chip Bandwidth
espousing the virtues of Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
There we go. Okay.
Let's just hear that. That's the last part.
We'll be with Kelvin 231. Don't go away.
Every week on Matchmaker.com Live, right here on this channel, our hosts, Linda Bonnell and Sean Pratt, will introduce you to real people.
So poorly done, isn't it?
Who are online.
It's like a community college project.
Meet people just like you for friendship, romance, and a whole lot more. From Dr. Chip Bandwidth, one of America's funniest and most informed internet gurus, you'll get tips about the internet and how to use Matchmaker.com, the world's largest online database, from learning how to scan and upload photos.
Okay, you got to see the picture here. The picture is of him sitting over a laptop, and he's like furiously typing and mopping his brow.
Internet guru.
Yeah, this is not an internet guru. This is a disc jockey. This is a disc jockey who can't get a job spinning records.
D-W-E-J-A-Y.
And you should see him sit there, like, furiously. He's going back and forth on the keys while they're describing him here.
Well, you heard that, you know, he did show enthusiasm when they were doing it.
Here's Johnny Pop, who actually saw this show. Hi, Johnny.
Yes, I found this gem. I just want to say this is probably one of the most serious cases of miscasting I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, cockpit.
To downloading information, to searching, browsing, and sending and receiving real-time messages to millions of people. Dr. Bandwidth keeps us informed and stitches. And let's not forget about our Generation X internet dating and protocol expert, Nikki. Using her quirky sense of humor and common sense notion of what's right and wrong, Nikki gives our studio guests, online members, and TV audience her own dose of what...
This is like small market times 1,000.
People online.
This is like beginner. This is like high school in the AV club.
That way,
you'll know whether or not you like Panda.
Lakum Panda.
I shall not name what you have under the bed. I shall merely imitate it.
That gets your bandwidth.
Someone with a sense of humor, a really good body.
How can you do that?
On the show are real members of Matchmaker.com.
I mean, it's tough enough for us to look ourselves in the mirror every day after we do this goddamn job.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But how could you possibly look yourself in the mirror and
gotta
say...
Gotta put food on the table, Don.
I am Dr. Chip...
Bandwidth.
Bandwidth.
Gotta put the food on the table.
Mm-hmm. I am internet guru Dr. Chip Bandwidth. Where is my medical jacket?
Oh, my lab coat, yeah.
Crazy.
Right now, people like Jamie, Angel, Diana, Michael, John, and Shelley. And you can be too. So next week, tune in your television.
Ever heard anything this low rent in your life?
.com.
And you gotta see the production values on this.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad, like Wayne's World production.
Matchmaker.com. Go meet somebody. That easy.
Well, here we come back like it's a real show. We're back.
Is an animal lover. You can see him there with his dog. He's a man who knows exactly what he wants. He wants a single, smart, slender, non-smoking, outgoing, stable, intelligent woman. It's
good luck. Pretty good cleavage on the co-host.
In fact, he's so...
Oh, yeah, on the girl who's talking now, yeah.
Very much so.
He's sure that he can give at least as much as he receives, that he offers, get this, ladies, a 30-day money-back guarantee. Let's meet Kelvin, 231.
Doesn't a Grease Man have a comment about that, about the 30-day guarantee?
I'm waiting.
Guarantee.
Sure.
You offer that. You put this in your bio.
Sure.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Now, is this some kind of trick? Not to blow your cover here, but I mean, you tell them the 30-day money guarantee. Does it mean you really guarantee a good time, or you just get 30 days usage?
30 days is good either way.
You've met your match now, Dr.
Yeah,
Bandwidth.
I think I have.
Okay, Dr. Bandwidth has met his match.
Your last girlfriend said you actually look
like that. Dr. Chip Bandwidth. Chip Bandwidth with you. Internet guru.
There we go.
Watch you. I peck away crazily at my laptop. What a pleasant surprise it was.
Yeah.
Well, that's what she said. Most guys don't, but I did.
All right. Well, that's the same energy level, so that's
enough. Well, now you know.
For those of you who are wondering.
What the Grease Man is doing now.
There you go.
Pretending to be an internet guru on a bad middle-of-the-night infomercial.
Yeah.
It was either that or phone sales for MCI. Thank you, Buzz. And we'll be back after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Put it this way. The other night, he was, you know what spooning is, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Spooning?
Yeah.
So he was like whispering, he was holding me and whispering.
Sleeping spoon.
Yeah, sleeping like spoon stuck, yeah. Cuddling in bed. Is that what we're talking about?
Right. And we were just about to fall asleep, I thought, you know, and he says, I don't want to fall asleep. And so I say, why not? And he says, because then I'll miss you.
Don and Mike are back, live in studio, tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Mike was scheduled to have a colonoscopy.
That's right.
This morning.
Yes.
So last night at 7,
I drank, I think it's called Fleet Phosphos Soda.
This right. poop juice,
which is a saline laxative that is designed to cleanse the bowel for medical procedures.
And I wish we had bet money on it, because I bet that you would have a poop within 20 minutes, and it was like 18 minutes later that you had to run out of the studio.
And 18 minutes later was nothing. I had really, the next time I do this, if I ever have to do it again, that's coming. I will do that either not on the show, right. or I will do it when I get home. Because they say, be close to facilities when you do that type of thing. And on my drive home is when it really hit.
So what did you do?
I barely made it home, but I'm powerful down there. So I was able to hang right in there. But, you know, I had to drink this stuff because the procedure, they all, I guess, do it different ways, the right. doctors that have you do this, but that you drink this stuff. And then the next morning, you have to drink more of it 3 hours before you're going to leave for the appointment.
So you had to get up at what time this morning to drink your second blast of poop juice?
4 a.m.
4 a.m. up to drink more poop juice.
Before I tell you what happened today, I will tell you that it's days like this that make me occasionally wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, "Good morning, Mike, you silly ass." That's the way I felt today. I'll tell you what happened. This was a big deal. You know, it's anytime somebody's going down and doing a procedure down there, there's an amount of stress. It's not a comfortable thing to have.
I didn't like it.
It's not cool. I'm not looking forward to it. I've had problems down there anyway. You know, it's something I have to do because the doctor says I have to do it. But I'm not looking forward to it. So, I mean, last night was
guy wants another guy taking a giant stick with a camera on the end of it and shoving it up his bung.
Amen.
It's just not fun.
It's
not natural.
I was nervous about it. And the thing is, with mine, not only did I have to drink that stuff at the end of the show yesterday, but I couldn't eat all day. I could not eat anything except for clear liquids,
right.
broth, stuff like that all day long. So I prepare for this thing for a solid 24 hours in advance. It changes, you know.
Solid is not the word.
Solid is not the word at all. So I go home and I'm basically, hi. I say hi to the kids. And I say that to them on the dead run as I run through the kitchen. I'm like, hi kids, how you doing, Daddy? He's got to go. And then I'm in the bathroom for the rest of the night until I go to bed. Well, then I set the alarm for 4 a.m., thinking that I'll get up because I have to drink this stuff. I'll get up, drink the stuff, let it do its work, and then, you know, retire and, you know, get a couple hours of shut-eye. Leave for the doctor's office at 7 o'clock, get to the hospital where he's going to do it at 8 o'clock, and I'll be all set. So I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
You got a family?
Yeah, because I think we got our second family.
Okay.
Hello, is this David?
Yeah.
David, where are you calling from, my friend?
Andrews Air Force Base.
Are you coming out to the show tonight at Bohagger's?
No, actually, I just wanted to prove that Joe Rockhead is an idiot and that he can't screen calls because I got through. Happy you and your mama, too!
So, anyway,
it's not Joe Rockhead, it's Mike Rockhead. And that was...
Charlie did that.
Incidentally, that was...
It was neither. That was me.
That was you.
Charlie Broyhill's work. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So the thing is, I'm getting ready to do this procedure.
I would say F all you people out there.
F you all. F you all. You know, I've got a very stressful story I want to tell you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm telling you that I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I drink this stuff, and I say, I'll go back, and I get a couple hours of shut-eye. Well, I drink this stuff, and as soon as I drink it, I can't get back to sleep because I know that this stuff's happening down there.
And we're going to have Bubble and Crude.
Yeah, there's going to be Mount St. Helens in probably, you know, 30 minutes or less, like it was the last time. And so I'm up and I'm like getting on the net. You know, I'm looking at email. I'm just not comfortable. And I finally, you know, it hits, but it didn't hit like yesterday. It took longer, which surprised me. And that, Rob, I swear to God, that sound effect is not all that far away from what it sounded like down there. And I'm, you know, I'm tired. I stayed up too late. And it hits, and I'm like, oh, here we go, yes, sir, congratulations, it's time to cleanse it. And I'm checking it out every time I'm doing this, because the ultimate goal is that by the time you're done, it's going to be
clear.
You know, it's going to be clear.
Clean enough to eat off your colon.
And frankly, you know, even at the very end, it wasn't all that clear.
No, of course.
It was semi. Is that the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah, that's not unusual.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
Sure.
I didn't know that.
To be loved by anyone.
So I get done with this. I'm ready to go. I jump in the shower about 6:30, and I'm going to leave at 7 o'clock. And just about the time I was going to get into the shower, I was lying down, and I was watching TV. And as I put my feet down on the ground, I stood up. And that's when the lack of food for 24 hours and, you know, the little procedure, I got a little woozy. Started, you know, just a little bit back and forth and was taking the shower and kind of going, yeah, you know, I'm a man who requires a great deal of caloric intake to sustain this frame.
Sure.
And so I was very woozy. And I'm just tired. I'm run down. I'm nervous about the procedure. Get in the car. I head off to this hospital. And I'm not used to dealing with
morning drive traffic.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. There I go again. I say it every time in 2000 because this... I went three different routes to see if I could get away from the bees, from the people that are going on the same route every day and how they stand it. You know, you talked about the sun delays.
Uh-huh.
I was on one of those eastbound routes that where you're looking directly into the sun, and it's not that like you can't drive with it, but it is certainly uncomfortable to have the sun even with your visor down burning your corneas as right. you're going to work every day. I finally get to the hospital and I see all these cars. I'm near where the hospital is, and I figure I'll take a shortcut because I see all these people going down this back road. So I take it, just saying, well, maybe that'll be quicker. And I got real lucky, and I was real happy, because I say, I made it to the hospital in this back way, and I didn't even know where I was going. So I get in there, I park the car, I'm a little, the heart rate's starting to go up. I go down to the registration desk, and I say, hello. Of course, there happen to be two very attractive nurses that are standing at the registration desk talking
always.
To the battle axes that are behind the counter. You know, the volunteers are like, yeah, can I help you? And I don't want to go in, hello, yeah, someone's going to be putting something up my dookie today. And so I walk up and I said, hi, is Michael there? I have a colonoscopy today.
What's that, sir? Who's the doctor?
Dr. Goldstein.
And the procedure you're having?
Dr. Steve Goldstein.
I want to have the other thing. And, okay, just a minute. He's not on the list. I said, what do you mean? He's not on the list. He said, I just want to have, I want to have the procedure done here. It's scheduled. See, and I show her my slip. And I said, there's my slip. Can you please do that? She said, just a minute. Let me check. And she goes through her records. And said, no, there's no one here that's supposed to do that today. You might want to call the officer. This time I'm like, I'm really almost like in an immediate rage.
You get mad.
I've prepared. My colon is empty, please. So I say to the lady, can you check again? She checks again. And
I just like to point out that Mike is mm-hmm. extra double frantic.
Mm-hmm.
He's as frantic as he is about getting on an airplane.
Right.
Like when anything can flip him out.
Oh, yeah.
He's double frantic when it comes to anything medical. And when it's his dookie.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like triple frantic.
Well, and you know what? You're exactly right, because that's the way I am with an airplane. You know, with the stress, it's like... But we're kind of similar in that way. We both want to be both on that airplane first.
First, right.
Get me on there. Just get it over. Just let's go. Let's get it started.
Right.
And I call the office, and I get an answering machine because it's real early. And I says, well, we'll have the doctor call. So the doctor calls me and says, hi, how you doing? I said, I'm here. I'm at the hospital. I have a colonoscopy schedule. There's no one here. I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm bordering on that indignant, how dare you put me through this? And I'm really starting. He said, I'm at the other hospital today. I don't understand. I said, I've got the sheet. The sheet's right here, and I'm here. It's checked off at this hospital.
Did you do the procedure?
I said, yes, I did the procedure.
Did you drink the poop juice?
Yes, the prep work.
Right.
Like painting a house. I painted the colon. I'm fine. So he says, I'll see what's going on. In these cases, if you did the prep work, they can usually get you in at the other place, the other hospital. I'm like, oh, God.
The hospital you're at now.
No, the other place. I was going to have to go to the other place.
Oh, his hospital.
At this point, I'm saying, hey, I'd rather have that done, and it's not that far away, so it's fine. So he goes, I says, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. He's real cool, so couldn't be nicer, very nice guy.
Good.
And about this time, I just get out the sheet, and I've been looking at the sheet, and all I have been looking at...
Is this the sheet you had yesterday?
Yes, the pink sheet.
The pink sheet?
All I've been looking at are the instructions on what to do with my dookie.
I'd just like to point out that during the last hour of the show yesterday,
yes,
that's all Mike was doing.
Was looking at that.
Staring at this pink piece of paper that had the instructions for taking this poop juice.
Conservatively, I've looked at that piece of paper 300 times.
And you don't even know the discussion that Mike and I had during the commercials. About
how much stuff to put in the goofy stuff to make you go. Right.
Here's how it was written. It said, drink one, number one, and next to it, 1/2 ounces.
Right. Right.
Mike said to me, do you think that means drink 1/2?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think it means drink 1.5? And I looked at the paper and I said, it means drink 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked at me.
I looked at you like you were trying to, work me. Like you were saying, I think it's just a half. And then I realized right away that you were right. And didn't I say that you're right?
Yeah, and it said drink 1.5
So we cleared that up because I was going to do it on the show. I mean, that's the time they say I'm supposed to do
this. I only mentioned this because Mike had been staring at this piece of paper.
I've had it with me. I've protected it. I put it in my wallet.
For an hour yesterday.
It's the cherished piece of paper that I scoured. First of all, I thought I'd lost it at the house, and I'm looking all over for it. And this is the piece of paper that I have. I could almost commit it to memory. I've looked at it so many times, and it's got what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to take aspirin for a week before or after the procedure.
Right.
You're supposed to do this the day of the procedure, day before the procedure. This is where you're supposed to go. Report to this entrance. And they check everything off. And then they have the date right on the bottom and the time. Get there at 8 o'clock. Procedure starts at 9 o'clock. Right there. And so I'm sitting there, and I finally, you know, my trusted, it's like my security blanket. And as I get off the phone with the doctor, I just whip it out, and I look at it. And I look down at the bottom of the page, and I say, there it is. It says 9 o'clock. Be there at 8 o'clock at this hospital. And then I look at the numbers. And, you know, we've changed the year, and it's a little confusing for checks and such. But I will tell you, I'm a moron. I'm a total moron because on the date, it is not February 2nd. It is not 2/2/2000. It is 3/2/2000. I am at the appointment 1 month earlier than I should be. And I have done. And it's one thing, you know, if you're getting your eyes checked and you show up a month early for.
Right.
I'm gone you don't have 24 hours.
You don't have to wash out your eyes with acid before Absolutely. You get your eyes checked.
I mean, I've had my bowels completely. So at this point, now at the registration desk, I haven't gone. Ballistic. I haven't started to freak out.
Good.
But I have copped a little bit of a tude.
Really? You?
I've copped just a tiny bit of a tude. But they're so busy, thank God, that they're not even really aware of it. You know, because there's another lady who's having a super meltdown about some insurance card thing, and thank God for her, because it makes me, you know, pale in comparison.
Right.
But I mean, my reaction was kind of like, oh man, I can't believe this. You know, this I just don't understand this. I don't know why they're doing with this. And I think at one point I might have said, messed with the wrong guy this time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I might have said that, you know, but I was saying it like walking away like a wuss. So I was really just, the only thing I was totally thankful for is that I wasn't completely over the top when I talked to the doctor, and I could have been, because I was at that point, you know, I got the cold sweat happening.
Did you go back up to the nurses to tell them?
I ran to the phone. They were letting me use a phone behind the desk. They're letting me use this phone, and I run back there, and I'm doing this. I'm calling the doctor's answering machine because I immediately want to say, and I get this answering machine lady that's just, it's a different person. So I'm hoping that this answering machine company will be the answering service for the doctor, will be the same lady, and it's not. And it's like, what's this? And I have a colonoscopy. I called the doctor. I told him he was not here, and I was here. And the bottom line is, I'm a month early, and I tell him I am so terribly sorry. I did not mean to do this. Please. Please tell him I didn't mean to do this. I'm very sorry. You see, here's the situation. She's like, excuse me, sir. What is your name? And I say, my name is Mike O'Meara. I had the procedure scheduled today, and I called him. I was a little upset, and I said, I was here. He wasn't. Could you please tell him it's all been a terrible, horrible mistake? Please, please. So she said, what is it? I said, and then at this point, the lady from the hospital has to use this phone and says, sir, we need to use that phone. And I'm like, I know you need to use this phone. I'm just on the phone with the answering machine. Just tell him it's been a terrible mistake. I read the thing wrong, and I'm 1 month early, and I totally screwed up. You can understand that. And meanwhile, the lady with the insurance card is over there going, they've got the wrong card for me. And she's, it's like this mini pandemonium down there. And I'm just trying to get word to the doctor. You know what I want to do, seriously? I want to run out of the hospital lobby. I want to run like a girl crying.
Right.
I just want to go, I'm such an idiot. So I go back, and I'm pacing back and forth, and I decide I'll call my wife, and I'll tell her. And so she says, I call Laura, and I said, hi, Laura, I just want you to know, it wasn't his fault, it was my fault. I'm a month early. And Laura's reaction, you know, because I never do something like this, is like, yeah, okay. And so, you know, geez, that's standard behavior for me. I'm not exactly the single most organized person in the world.
Did you use your Palm Pilot?
No, I did not. I should have. But the Palm Pilot, I've got all the phone numbers in there.
I do.
I should have used it. I'll use it next time.
So I got over to the grocery store at about 11 o'clock, and Frida said, she worked me real good. She said, Mike just called. I'm like, real serious. She's goofing. She says, Mike just called. I said, yeah? What is it? She said,
because I know you know the procedure. There's that always that little, you know,
Mr. Romero, we're going to have to keep you for the rest of your life. She said, it's about his colon.
Mm.
And I said, really? What? She said, you better sit down. Oh, my God. So right away I'm thinking, you're going to be in the hospital. I'm already thinking, like,
buster.
Okay, how do I do the show? What do we do? I sit down and go, okay, what? She says, he went a month early.
I swear to God, I did.
The doctor calls back at the registration day, and meanwhile, he's made the arrangements to squeeze me in. So he's been
still
spending
pardon
that,
the pun.
he is so cool. He is like, and I have newfound respect for
so
him.
So did you have it done today?
No, I did not. What he said was, we can squeeze you in. We can, you know, when you've done the prep work, they usually have some degree of flexibility. They don't, you know, they try to get you in there, and I can get you in there, but it would be later in the day, and I know that you have to go to work. And even though I told you not to go to work, he said, you know, I don't want you to do that. And he said, I said, look, I remember saying this to him. I said, if you want to drop me as your patient, you can. If you want to say goodbye to me as your patient, because I felt like the complete moron. This is a 3 and not a 2. Okay, this is one number that, and I think I really have some sort of dyslexic thing happening with numbers sometimes, because I don't know how. But you know the other thing? I think you had mentioned that when I get eager about something, when I'm anxious, that's the word, anxious, right. I want to get it over with. And somehow I had put in my mind that this procedure was in February and not March, and I was very eager to get it done. And he was just like, well, okay, no problem. And then I started asking him, well, after you do this, what should I eat? What should I eat? What should I eat? He said, yeah, you know, have some bread, have a bagel, and then you can eat normally, diet, you know, you'll be fine. And I'm like, thank you, doctor, sorry about that, I'm sorry I got a little upset. I really thought that you'd say, and he's, you know, he's saying, yes, no problem. You have a nice day. I'm like, okay. And I just, you know, you realize why I'm a disc jockey and he's a medical professional, because, you know, it's the, you know, the IQs are just about here. You know, as I'm down here going, you hurt me. You know, and
when he hung up the phone, he hung up the phone and said, you want to hear the dumbest thing that's ever happened?
Sure.
And I'm sure he said to his nurse, you ever listen to the Don and Mike show?
Oh, I'm sure. He had never listened to the show. And when I went in there, he said, hey, well, I'll give it a listen. I think during the course of the conversation, he might have said, I listened once or twice. And, you know, and I listened once or twice. And with you know, no comment either or. And
that's
so,
a killer when someone says that to you.
I listened once or twice. And then, no, I'm sure he hung up the phone, probably looked at the nurse and just went, silly ass. Mike O'Mara, the silly ass.
We will come right back.
This is the Don and Mike show.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
Maitre d'. Maitre d'.
You. How much for your wife?
In the best of Don and Mike.
Buzzy, I have a task for you, please. Get on the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly do this myself, except, you know, here it is, the 7th of January.
And our computer's out.
And our computer is still not functioning here in the studio.
I'm still thinking about you watching Frasier last night. You didn't watch when people go totally out of control?
I flip back and forth between Frasier and that.
Soccer fights, you know. Cops.
I saw the soccer fight.
Did you see that guy? That guy hit the cop. It was horrible. Yeah. It was horrible when he did that. But they had lots of that reality video with people going absolutely bananas.
I liked a little more time with Greed last night also.
Yeah, I watched a little Greed
last
night.
I'm not ashamed to tell you.
Sure, yeah, Greed's okay.
This is the dumbest questions. Greed. Buzz, here's the address, please.
All right.
It's www.chatwithjesus.com.
All right. Oh, excellent. I mean, a website for Jesus?
Well, we got a press release today that says Jesus Christ is on the web and ready to answer your questions.
Cool. That's good.
Since the passing of the new year did not bring about the end of civilization, our client, Jesus Christ, has decided to have a quiet and civilized second coming.
Our client?
Yes. A new website has been designed for the purpose of Jesus Christ communicating with the world. This amazing technology gives everyone the ability to ask questions and receive answers from Jesus,
mm-hmm.
including Jesus' chat room.
Yes.
Jesus' confessional and Jesus' email.
Mm-hmm. Man, oh man, email Jesus.
And you pulled it up, Buzz?
It's right here in front of me. It's Chat with Jesus.
Is Jesus there right now?
There is a picture of Jesus riding a rainbow across the sky, and then there's a little paragraph of explanation, and then kind of a menu at the bottom. You can choose, as you said, chat, email, confession, disclaimer.
Go into the chat room.
Or links. Into the chat room.
Go into chat and see what Jesus is doing right now.
All right. Live chat available anytime you like. Yada, yada.
JC colon.
Oh, here's the catch. Members, click here.
Here we go. Oh, Jesus makes you pay to talk to him?
I don't know. He's live online every day from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard.
standard time.
Well, Jesus is only online for 1 hour a day.
Well, he's got lots of other work to do.
Jesus Christ.
He's very, very busy.
And I mean that.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, Jesus.
I don't have a username and password, so I can't talk to Jesus.
So there's no information on how much it would cost to join the Jesus fan club?
Well, I'll keep looking. Let's see.
Through the magic of the internet, you can now have access to speak with and get answers back from Jesus Christ. This forum is set up so people can finally get clear and concise answers to their questions about Jesus. Jesus Christ has agreed to special one-on-one chats with media members during designated times.
Hey, how about that one-on-one chats?
That must be why they sent us the press release. Buzz, why don't you type in, do they have a little click on there to give the site mail?
I'm at the registration page right now for the chat room. You want to go to email instead?
Yeah, why don't you just go to email and tell them that the Don and Mike Show
requests an interview with Jesus
Christ.
Okay, email. Here we go. Oh, yeah, you have to register to even send Jesus email.
Really? Is there a phone number on your press release?
No, there's not.
You can click to register.
Buzz, go to this. Go to mail.
All right.
Go to mail. Just write mail at this address.
Uh-huh.
BBC Advertising.
Oh, it's a British deal.
At AOL.com.
Maybe. I mean, it sounds like that. The BBC, of course.
No, it says BBNC.
Oh, BBNC.
BBNC, Public and Religious Relations. So their address is BBC Advertising at AOL.com.
Okay, well, this is fairly significant for the year 2000 that we're actually going to get a chance to. And will we get an exclusive interview because we're, in the media?
I guess so.
Yeah. There's no email account here at this computer, and I can't access mine at home through this. So
aye, aye, aye.
We're stuck.
The computer age is so...
We have to register.
What a mess this is.
Oh, I should have brought in my laptop.
Show off. Mike got a laptop for Christmas. All he does is watch the movie Casino on his laptop.
And that is all that computer will be used for. I actually leave Casino in the laptop. I don't put any other movie in there.
I called the chief engineer to find out what the hell's going on with our computers here.
And I'm going to go ahead and register us to talk to Jesus.
This is Al Rothstein. I'm head of the Tangiers.
Tangiers Casino.
Leave her alone, Ginger.
There's a surprising development. No one's at home in the engineering department today.
Hi, Wendell.
Hey, tell him to pick up the phone.
Dan. I can't come
smash
to the
his
right now,
hand with a hammer.
Leave a brief message. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Alternatively, during regular business hours, dial 0 during this greeting to reach the receptionist.
Dan is in the counting room.
Urgent, please dial my pager. Thank you.
Recording.
What's wrong with my computer, Dan?
Daniel, Happy New Year.
Dan.
Happy New Year to you.
Dan, I can't get the web in here. I can't get call screens up in here. Dan.
I'll give you $20 for that hat.
For what hat?
He has a hat that I want.
Please.
Aren't you big?
For your message.
Aren't you big with my $20? That's what you're spending there is my $20.
Right.
$20 you owe me for my Dennis Murphy gift.
You know what that is, Don?
What?
That's found money.
It's $4.95 a month to talk to Jesus. You can use either your Visa or your MasterCard.
I think that's a bargain.
Well, use your MasterCard, Buzz.
Go ahead. Whip it out,
right.
Buzz.
All I'm right. Tired of paying money all the time on this show to get crap.
Me too.
You know what? We should shut up. We should have the web in here so that we can pull stuff up, and Mike and I can look at it here. We don't have to go through Buzz because we can't see Buzz's screen.
Right. I think really we need quicker, faster access. We need maybe our own little deal here, for this show so that we can have instant access to the net and we don't have to dick around with the network computers that we use in this building.
You know, people that listen to this show generally are very computer literate. Every time we have someone on the show who has a website, they
always
call us back and say, we're amazed at the fantastic response we got, but we can never get on a website ourselves. How you doing, Buzz?
I'm doing fine. I'm registering.
Okay. Tell us what you're doing. Walk us through it since we can't see the screen.
I'm doing my name and address and all of that right now. Buzz.
Buzz moves a little. Buzz is like Uncle Joe at Petticoat Junction.
Yeah.
There's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow
at the junction.
Petticoat Junction. In the shady rest at the junction.
Yes, yes, here I got it.
Very good. Junction.
495 months to talk to Jesus. Yeah. My name is Buzz's Uncle Joe Burbank.
How's it going?
It's going great. I'm entering my credit card number now.
Oh, are you really? A good man, Buzz. What is that number? Why don't you share that with us?
Share that with all of us.
Well, because I'm so old, the number is 6.
Again, that's the first big laugh from Buzz Burbank in the millennium. I like
Somebody took his funny pills today.
The number is 6. Customer since 03.
And?
The email address field must be a valid email address. They're not buying it. Hang on.
They're not buying it.
Hello, Dave. This is Hal. We can't communicate with Jesus, Dave.
Hello, Buzz. How are you, Buzz? All right. Well, you know what? Something tells me that Buzz is not going to be able to pull that up just as quickly as we are ready for it.
No.
I will come back to you, Buzz.
All right.
Just let me know when you get that ready.
Okay.
I got some music ready. Take your time, Buzz.
Thank you.
No pressure, Buzz.
You know, I'm stumped because it's telling me that I'm not giving it a valid email address, but there's no place to write in the email address, so I don't know where to go from here.
Really?
Well, there's no place to write it in.
We have a few more seconds.
Come and look for yourself.
I can't come in there and look for myself, Buzz, because I'm here doing this right now.
But at least we've got this lovely music to listen to.
Thank goodness.
So you're saying that the problem is with the server, with the people who are offering this website.
Yeah, or I guess our system here, which apparently doesn't have a valid email address.
Well, why don't you just type in your email address?
I would if there was a box to do that in. I've
you're
filled
sure
all
there's
the
not
other boxes.
A box there, yeah, like maybe positive. Earlier, maybe a few screens back or something?
Well, I could go back, but it's probably going to clear all the information I've entered now.
Well, go back, then.
Okay.
Go back.
It's back to I agree or I don't agree to Jesus' terms of membership.
Take your time.
All right. I was right. It cleared all the way field.
Oh, you were right again.
Oh, boy.
Well, go back then. Go back to the very beginning.
All right. I agree to Jesus' terms. I'm back to the beginning of chat with Jesus.
Okay, so tell me exactly what it says.
I'll walk you through this. You can email a message or a question to Jesus by registering here. You have a little blue line you can click on.
All right, click on that.
I did that, but I'll do that again. Well, I look here. It's the screen we were just at. I agree or I don't agree to
right.
Jesus' terms.
Click on you do agree.
All right, I did that. All right, I'll do it again. Now we have the little hourglass on the screen.
Which means we're waiting.
Yes.
Yeah, we're working. We're waiting.
Working and waiting.
I'm going to play that one to the label.
I like it when you play them to the end because sometimes we don't get a chance to hear those.
It's a great ending.
Something tells me we're going to get to hear it at least one or two more times.
I think that might be accurate. So is it still the hourglass?
Still the hourglass. Oh, well, now it's changed. They're asking for your name.
Okay.
All right.
Well, just to expedite things, type in fake stuff.
Okay. All right.
You know, just like AABBCCDD.
Hey, this time there's a box.
Oh. How about that?
Boy, it must have just materialized.
Well, then put your real stuff in, Buzz.
Got it.
How about that? The box just showed up, Mike.
Magically appeared.
Imagine that.
Magically delicious. Pink hearts. Green clovers.
Are you wearing your bifocals today over there, Ben Franklin?
Yeah, I have on my glasses, yeah.
All right, so now he's probably doing it a little quicker now because he's already been through this.
Practice makes perfect.
All right. I wonder where that box could have been the first time.
Buzz, are you aware of the fact that you can hit the tab key to move down to the next line?
I'm way ahead of you, buddy.
Okay, just thought I'd die. Oh, I can tell that.
There we go now. Expiration date.
Hey, Buzz, let me catch up.
All right.
You're so far ahead.
Oh, jeez. Hang on.
What's
your problem now,
Buzz? What happened?
Hang on. I didn't enter a valid state. Hang on.
Take your time, Buzz.
All right.
That'd be Virginia.
VA.
I think you're right.
Yeah, sometimes in a lot of those things, of course, they give you all...
You know, why is that all the way down?
I mean, you got to put your street and all that crap in there, but they give you the 50 states.
So what are you doing now, Buzz?
Okay, I'm waiting on Jesus, who is verifying my information and asking me to please wait.
Oh, well, good. Then we've gotten to the next step. Mm-hmm.
This is very exciting because I think we're moments away from actually being able to... Gonna chat with Jesus, but you say he's on from what time? Pacific time, right? What happened, Buzz?
Use the back button up to 3 times to get the sign-up form. If the information you entered is incorrect, your order has been rejected. I've been rejected by Jesus. The authorization was denied. Transaction did not go through.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact you swung. Well, you were a wife swapper for a while.
It could have been.
I don't know, maybe. All right.
Well. Oh, that's too bad.
All right, Buzz.
Well, he wasn't going to be online anyway. He only got inside at 2 p.m.
He was just going to make an appointment with Jesus anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you, Buzz. Valiant effort.
I'll keep trying.
We do appreciate it. Okay. Keep us appraised.
All right.
Apprised.
Hello. Hi, Robbie. This just in, we have a gentleman's name and password that he had called in and would allow Buzz to use if he'd like to try one more time.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Hi.
I just wanted to know why Jesus needs all this information. Wouldn't he already know who you are?
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree with you,
good
sir.
Point.
That's a fantastic point.
Valid point. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. All right, Buzz. Apparently someone out there was able to log in and get a password,
right?
If I'm mistaken, Buzz did.
And now Buzz is going to log in. Now all you have to do is go back to the original and log in, like you're a regular member.
Go back to the very beginning.
Take your time, Buzz.
I'm all right. Oh, I've been rejected again.
Well, you put in that other information and you got rejected?
Yeah, no, I tried redoing mine and it rejected me again.
No. Go back, just clear it, Buzz. All just right. Go back and clear it. You know what this is like? This is like... Oh, don't be offended, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
This is like trying to talk an old person through the internet.
That's why his credit card has 6 on it.
Yeah, because Lord knows I don't know what I'm doing.
I know this newfangled box of wires, Buzz. I know it was easier in your day when you would just go down to the mercantile and you would just ring up Sally or whatever the operator
is.
Yeah, Sarah. And you'd say, Sarah, get me the dock.
Stat. So now you're using this other guy's password? Hey, we're going to hear that again.
I don't really get the information I have here is not complete and therefore not usable. So I'm trying my own information again.
Okay. All right. F Jesus.
Oh, I don't mean it like that.
John, hey.
I don't mean it like that, of course. I mean
the website, of course.
F Jesus' website.
There, that's more like
it. We'll just do it later.
Okay.
Just do it later.
Yeah, and you know why I think that didn't work?
Because you're an atheist, Buzz.
That's what I think. The bottom line in all this, you never sent an atheist to do anything on Jesus Christ's website.
Yeah, that's true. And but it was a nice picture.
Oh, yes, a very nice... It's a drawing, actually, of Jesus riding a rainbow.
Right.
It's not a photograph?
No. I think you have to pay the $4.95 a month to get the photograph.
All right, we thank you, Buzz. Thank you for the effort.
Well, that's the way the internet can be sometimes.
We'll get on the internet at some point.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Timmy O'Bibernay to tell you more.
This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show comes to Element right in my hometown, Washington, D.C. Element is right by the MCI Center at 714 6th Street Northwest. There's plenty of parking. So take the red line to Gallery Place. Doors open at 5, show starts at 8. And you got to be 21 to get in. For more info, 301-840-8793 or check out clubelement.com.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
For the girls, the less clothes, the better.
Don't miss it.
Peculiar Paw.
Oh, I reckon everybody is a little bit.
I'm part Peculiar Paw.
Yeah, let's find that out.
Well, today my teacher, she said to me that I washed my neck this morning. And I said I did. And she took a look and then she said, well, it looks mighty peculiar to me.
You know what it means?
Mm-hmm, it means dirty.
No, it means strange or odd. Let me see. That is peculiar. You better go home and wash your neck.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Remember about, was it a month ago? Maybe longer than that. I came in one day and I told you I thought it looked like Andrea Kramer had been knocked up.
Yes.
I read in the newspaper today.
Preggers.
She is knocked up and she is going to squeeze her baby out before the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
She's that pregnant.
So she will not be at the Super Bowl this time.
No, she's, I guess she's been there and she's done her features.
And then now she's going back to get ready for the baby.
She's doing the voiceovers for her features during the Super Bowl show. She's voicing them from the hospital.
Oh, wow.
From the hospital.
She's a trooper.
Because she's going to be squeezing a baby out. I noticed all of the interviews she's done on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
She only has been shot, I told you, from the neck up.
Well, I guess that's, that's it. I mean, it's one thing when she got married. You know, I know you still thought there was a chance.
Yeah, no, another one bites the dust.
Yeah, now she's with child, happy family. That's it. She's gone forever.
She's dead to me. Just like Tony Soprano and his mother. No, I really like Andrea Kramer.
I know, and didn't you at one point gaze at her from your hotel room, from the Atrium Hotel? You'd look down at her.
When we were at some Super Bowl.
Right.
From our hotel room,
mm-hmm.
we were right next to the hotel where ESPN was doing their broadcast from.
That was New Orleans, I think.
Yes, it was, Rob.
Yeah.
And I could actually look out my window.
Watch her doing her stand-up.
And watch her do her live thing. And we had had her on the show, and I talked to her, and I called her that night.
Yeah.
She got back to our hotel room. I said, I know you're going to think I'm a perv. I said, but I could see you from my hotel room. I was watching you.
I'm watching you, Andrea.
While you were on TV.
You're wearing purple so you can hide.
I did a tramp. I was having a nice J.O. and watching you, and I was wondering if you'd like to have a sandwich with me. And then we actually had a sandwich together.
You understand that?
I know, it's pathetic. It's really pathetic.
Yeah, no, it would have been pathetic. It would be a pathetic story
if she didn't go along with it and agree to meet with you, but she agreed to meet
She's
with
a very
you.
Nice lady. Very fond of her. Too bad that somebody else has planted a fertile seed inside her.
Happily married lady, now soon to be mom.
Right, so congratulations to Andrea Kramer.
Absolutely.
So listen, we're having the blizzard of the century today. You know, we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing we didn't mention was they had this guy for Channel 4 today. And Channel 4 is doing this wall-to-wall coverage. And at about 10 o'clock this morning,
right.
really, even though you're having a blizzard,
mm-hmm.
you pretty much... You run out of crap to say on the television.
Yeah, and they're just padding and padding and padding, getting more and more, you know, on the street reporters to go to.
So they've got this poor schlup, Pat Collins. And to this point of the morning, his biggest story has been the fact that an escalator is broken, so people have to take an elevator to get on the subway.
Right. Yeah, and they show like 1 million times, they show this camera shot of people's feet waiting in line. You know, like it's their big creative endeavor.
So this guy, Pat Collins, he's standing outside the subway, the metro station, and he says, you know, he goes, I got a special treat for you, Barbara and Joe. He's talking to the anchors. He goes... Come over here for a second. He calls the guy. It's a bicycle messenger.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, how many of us have seen bicycle messengers riding through the streets of D.C. on any given day?
He's actually out here with his mountain bike. And, you know, you're getting ready for the guy to say, hey, you know, I work no matter what. I get through the snow, you know, and we have to be here. That's just the way it works.
Right.
And, you know, you're getting ready for this whole spiel.
And Pat Collins says to him, so, you out working today? And the guy looks at him. The guy goes, no, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir.
I'm just out here playing.
I'm just playing. And right away, Pat Collins, a little thrown off by this, because I guess he's not even enough of a reporter
right.
that he did, like, a fake interview before
sure.
the interview to find out what the guy was. I'm sure he just said, hey,
yeah.
there's a guy on a bike. Get that guy on the bike. Give me the live shot. I got something.
Yeah, give me the courier. Give me the courier. And the guy's like, the idiot's just out there, like, pedaling his bike through the snow. You know, not working. No, we're closed today.
And a real militant guy, because
right.
he kept punctuating everything mm-hmm. with, yes, sir, and no, sir.
I can make it through the snow, sir. That's what I'm supposed to do, sir. I'm paid to do that, sir. Well, you're paid to do it, but you're closed, and you're still out, you moron. Idiot.
Another good example of homework, it might have been Pat Collins, or it might have been someone from Channel 9, because I was flipping around. He called someone over and said, do you remember the blizzard of 96? And the person nodded. He said, how would you say this compares to the blizzard of 96? And no, speak English. It was just like a total dead moment. He said, thank you. Thank you so much.
So they're talking to this guy on Channel 4, this bicycle guy.
Right.
And he's got long hair and a ponytail. Looks kind of Hawaiian in his makeup.
Looked really like he was, you know, he was ready to do his little courier thing.
Well, I mean,
you know, he wasn't working.
He had on those kooky glasses that baseball players love wearing. You know,
that right.
Bobby Bowden had on during the Sugar Bowl.
He was very quick to profess how brave and tough he was, you know,
yeah.
to be out there in the snow.
Right.
But not working.
No, sir, I'm just out here playing.
And so the next shot is, you know, he points down to his knobby tires that he has. And Pat Collins decides that he's going to give us the nice shot of him pedaling up the street. It was riveting.
And I said to Frida, I said, if there's a God
mm-hmm.
on this earth,
right.
this guy will be hit by a bus
oh,
as soon as he turns the corner. But no, he went pedaling away. But that
very sad, because, you know, then, you know, Pat Collins, like, on his feet going, snowplow over here. Get a shot of the snowplow.
This is the first snowplow we have seen on Massachusetts Avenue this morning.
It's tough duty. Tough duty, yeah. You know? I mean duty.
Yeah, it's crap.
It's but you know, I'll tell you, I'm riveted. It's high entertainment when we're watching that local news.
The bicycle messenger.
Yeah, the least, you know, the less they have to talk about, the more entertained I am. Absolutely. The more mundane it is, the better it is for me.
Is it still snowing, Buzz?
Yes, it is still snowing, and now they're saying it'll keep snowing until about 9:30 or 10 o'clock tonight.
You know.
It's amazing.
God, those effers.
I know.
I mean this. They originally, when the snow started,
that after the snow started, and they didn't predict it.
Right.
They
right.
said the snow would be over at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said it'd be over at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said 5 o'clock. Then they said 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Now they say 9.
They say, well, we really didn't expect the storm to move this slowly. And what are the accumulation totals in the greater Washington D.C. area going to be?
Honestly, they're saying in D.C. 8 to 12 inches. But in Maryland, the governor has declared a state of emergency. He's been told that they have 16 inches and that 6 more are on the way. Quick math, that's 22 inches in Maryland, he says.
That's more than the average penis does.
By a lot.
According to the penis quiz we just took.
That's right, but if you melted it, it would be the average amount.
Geesh.
14 gallons of geesh.
14 gallons of geesh on the wall.
14 gallons of geesh.
About half a cup.
Take one down. Pass it around.
13 gallons of geesh on the wall.
Hey, there we go. For the next big road trip, we've got our song.
Boy, with all this bad weather, I sure hope Mike Rockhead's okay.
Oh, yeah, boy. I hope he's doing well with his cocoa. With his cocoa and his Jergens. I pray for him. Checking in on him?
Mm-hmm.
See, he was saying before, are you finished? And no, we're not.
No. It's called the J-O-K.
Hello?
Hey, Rockhead.
Yo.
Hey.
Is that VCR melting yet?
It's fine.
Okay. How many times have you J-O'd since we talked to you?
At least 5, Don.
At least 5.
Good for you.
But the previous four times were to your face. I have a picture of you guys hanging up in my room.
That's lovely. You know, whatever floats your boat.
You know, someone in your position shouldn't be such a smartass.
What can I do for you?
But I know you can't help it.
What can you do for us? Now you're sounding like some impatient clerk.
You're so good looking. You're so witty.
Well, I just want to know what you guys want.
Look, we're calling to bust your chops.
Because you're not at work.
Oh.
And we're entitled.
You certainly could have been here today. Everybody else showed up.
Well, put yourself in my position.
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
Okay.
No.
Well, then
I'd be worried if we did that. We'd all be walking around going, duh.
By the way, am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, you didn't tell me.
I don't have to tell you. You're a station employee. At least today you are.
Okay.
So what are you doing besides J&O?
I am cooking dinner.
What are you going to be enjoying for dinner tonight?
Tortellini.
Tortellini.
Tortellini. Yeah.
Is it the easy kind? The kind that you go in? Yeah.
Stuff you take right out of the refrigerator, just throw it in boiling water.
Right.
Are you going to be putting any sauce on that tortellini?
Of course.
What will the sauce be?
A cream sauce?
Are you going to go to that bathtub with the 14 gallons in it?
It would be mushroom and garlic sauce.
Mushroom and garlic. Oh, fantastic.
All right. Listen, you prick. We just want to let you know that we're still here working while you're having your tortellini in a can.
Okay.
All right. Any words of wisdom? Anything at all? Maybe by a telephone that you'd like to contribute?
I know. You took me by surprise this time. I expected your previous call, but I thought maybe you would be somebody else.
Who'd you expect?
I wasn't expecting anyone, but I...
The J.O. Fairy?
I wasn't expecting you guys.
J.O.A. J.O. Anonymous. Hello, my name is Mike Rockhead. I J.O. like 20 times a day.
Hi, Mike.
All right, Rockhead.
Okay.
You know, just a little more remorseful, maybe, the next time we call you.
Well, I apologize. I did not want to ruin my life or my car.
It's not sincere.
No, it is. I apologize. I do feel bad for Jimmy and Charlie.
I'll tell you this, that the calls today, and I am not just busting balls.
They've been phenomenal.
I swear to God, you know what I said to Rob? I said, look at the difference. Look at how Jimmy McClure can identify people who can really have something to say on this show today.
Yeah, maybe somebody who's not, you know, taking personal calls for 2 hours back there.
Right. Somebody who's not hanging up on everybody.
Right.
Right. Christ, I really can't wait to replace you. I mean that.
Jimmy's doing a good job. Would you like him?
I would, except he's like in some kind of middle management position here.
Oh.
The problem is finding someone to work the crappy hours for the crappy money with no benefits. Someone as desperate as you. I mean, that's the problem. We've just not been able to find anybody that desperate to replace you.
Right.
Hey, but it pays for the tortellini.
I don't have another job or anything, do I?
Hey, are you telling me you're quitting?
No, I'm telling you I have another job.
I know, so you could quit.
Would you like that, Don?
Listen, you know I would. I mean, I'm serious, I would. I got nothing against you personally. I think you're a crappy phone screener, though.
Okay, thank you. That was always my lifelong ambition, though.
To be a phone screener?
Yeah.
See, that's the whole point with this guy. This guy does not get into his job at all. I'm sure he sits back there every day and thinks how beneath him this job is.
Right.
You know, like that his Itche does an ink stay.
Yeah.
I got news for you. It ink stays.
Like everybody else.
Big time. So,
I'm sorry, what?
Is this your resignation?
No.
How long? You gonna give me 2 weeks?
No. Would you like me to give you 2 weeks?
Yeah.
No, it is not my 2 weeks, Don.
Hey, he just said you asked him if he'd like that, and he said yeah.
Yes, I would.
What was your response?
I didn't say that means he was going to get it.
Okay. Well,
I think we've
established the facts now, haven't we, tough guy?
What's that?
The fact is, you were trying to be the big tough guy and saying, would you like me to? And when Don said yes, he called your bluff, and you didn't come back with anything.
I was just asking for his input.
My input is, I would love you to quit.
Okay.
I mean, you're awful answering the telephones. Charlie Broyles tells me you're very good at doing all the jobs he wants you to do, like the jobs with the tapes and all the other crap and filling out the logs and stuff like that.
Right. Thank you. Like Charlie. He's a good guy.
You know, it's a chance for you to think about your skills.
My phone answering skills?
Yes. It's a good day to meditate on that. Maybe just a little less Django and a little more, you know, thinking about the skills.
Thinking how
when you come back tomorrow after you're punished, you can come in here and be the best phone screener you've ever been.
I will work very hard at that.
I wish I believed you.
Anytime you feel this job's beneath you, anytime you feel that you've just taken enough crap because you're so handsome and you're so talented, please quit.
Okay.
Just remember, it's a long line of people that would love to be doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't believe that?
No.
Well, why don't you quit then? Seriously, 2 weeks from tomorrow will be your final day.
I just don't believe it.
2 weeks from tomorrow will be your final day.
I'm curious. You genuinely don't believe that there are a lot of people that would love to do what you're doing?
Not for the crap I take and the money I make.
Then why don't you quit?
Just because I like it.
Because he likes it.
Well, now, you make up your mind. The crap you take and the money you make, but you like it. Those are in conflict.
I like the people I work with.
Everyone?
What?
You like everyone you work with?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, including you guys.
He smelled your
trash. Oh, he cracks me up, man. He's such a little a-hole, but he cracks me up.
Well, listen, just, you know, take this day and just think, really, I swear to God, the calls today have been 1,000,000% better than they have, like, every other day you're here.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, so it's something, maybe you could talk to Jimmy and ask him what he does to, you know, make him better.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. And remember, in the end, the crap you take is equal to the cash you make. That's like some beautiful piece of poetry.
It's very nice.
It's like a Beatles song.
The crap you take is equal to the cash you make.
Right.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
And anytime you'd like to quit, I swear to God.
I know, I have your 100%.
Would make me happy.
I know you
nothing
would
make
my,
me happier.
I know you would back my decision.
You're hanging by a thread in my eyes. It's only because Charlie Broyhill likes you.
No, I
really,
like
you're that. An awful phone screener.
Thank you, Don. You've told me millions of times.
And Rockhead?
Yes?
Please don't quit.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
See you tomorrow. Punishment right at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Public punishment.
All right.
You've been, guys. You've been on the air. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I love you.
Good night.
Oh, God.
Bye, you little prick. Michael Rockhead.
Yeah. Mr. Tough Guy.
Couldn't come into work today.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that's true. If he'd quit, I'd be happy. I mean, he's a nice kid and all, but he just... He hates his job. He hates answering the telephones. He thinks the people who call our show generally are idiots.
Yeah, just making tortellini, a little tin pan with a T-shirt and no pants on. Sounding tough on the phone.
You know, the guy thinks he's destined for something great. You know, what he really has to do is look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And say, look, this is as high on the food chain as I'm going to rise right now. This is it.
Make me the best at it.
This is the closest you're ever going to get to being Vin freaking Scully.
Or whatever stupid dream you have of being a baseball announcer.
Please, this is the closest you're going to get. So apply yourself to this.
Think we're being too cruel to him? He needs it.
Oh, yes, he does.
He needs it more. He needs it more than anyone else here.
He's the worst.
That's right.
He's awful. Really, he is.
God damn it.
Okay. There's Mike Rockhead. Let's do a break. come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Because this ain't about education. It ain't much about winning, and it sure as hell ain't much about basketball. It's about money. Just money. That's what it's about, Ed. And I bought into it. I bought into it big time. I'm a big part of the problem.
Don and Mike are back, live in studio, tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Ready for some old-fashioned punishment.
All right.
Charles, if you would please take the accused to the assigned position.
Hope he dressed warmly.
I think that we have a tree outside ready, and we're going to strap Rockhead to a tree.
Very good.
And I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do once we get him strapped to the tree.
Just being outside today, strapped to a tree, is good punishment.
The only thing that I had to promise him was that we would not, and we would definitely not allow our listeners to come down and pelt him with snowballs.
No, absolutely not.
And there would be no physical harm. This is all psychological torture.
That's correct.
That we're going to inflict on Mike Rockhead, who is, incidentally, not just maybe, but he has won the title of the worst phone screener ever.
So he will be taken outside and taped to a tree.
Right. Where is he? Let's get this show on the road.
Moving slow.
I'm ready to start. The guy didn't, and the reason for this is that he didn't show up to work yesterday.
Dead man walking.
Right. Everybody else made it in yesterday, except Mike Rockhead.
Right.
Who drives a Toyota. And Toyotas are great in the snow.
Sure. There he goes.
There he goes. There goes the accused man, not even wearing a jacket.
Wendell, the prison guard, is he better wear a jacket.
Yeah, I think he should.
It's his choice.
He's so slow.
I don't need one.
So what we're going to do is take him outside and tape him to a tree.
It was warm when I came in.
We're just going to duct tape him to a tree.
Good.
And make him say I'm sorry a bunch of times.
I like this music. I don't know why I like this music, but I do.
It's the Rockhead theme.
Music for the condemned man.
This is music that plays in Rockhead's head all the time.
Now they're going to the main tree, right outside our picture window, our window on the world. And he's actually facing us. And now we should have some type of wireless microphone so that we could actually communicate with the boy. Hi, Charlie.
How are you?
Oh, there you go. It's Charlie Broyhill. Hi, can you... Oh, so obviously, what do you have, a headpiece in or something? An earpiece?
No, there's a Wendell set up a monitor out here, and I can hear.
Ah, ask Rocket, what's he doing without a coat on?
I don't know. I didn't grab one.
Okay.
He's wrong.
Your butt. And now, Charlie, let me turn the music off so we can actually hear you duct taping Rockhead to the tree.
He's getting up to his arms now.
Yeah, that's one good thing about Charlie Broyhill.
Right.
He doesn't do it half-assed.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he's really, like, in a hostage situation, taping him to the tree.
That's marvelous. We'll be able to just keep looking at him out there. Hi, Rockhead. How you doing?
I'm fine, Mike. Thanks.
I'm so sad you're going to be leaving us. Oh, I'm going to miss you so much.
There he goes. Nice and tight.
There he is. I think that's plenty.
That's
good,
fine, Charlie.
I haven't got his legs yet.
Yeah, do his legs.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Ankles.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, his ankles. That's all you need to do is really do it well around his ankles.
If you must. Now, we're going to have Charlie out there and Wendell out there also to make sure that no harm comes to Mike Rockhead.
Yes, they'll be guarding him.
Because we really don't want anybody to come down and do anything to him. However... What?
No, I was just saying, no, we don't want anybody to do anything to him.
But
who are those passersby?
You know, there are already people coming by just to take a look at him.
Tourists are already checking you out there, Rockhead.
How's it feel, Rockhead?
I feel fine, thank you. Lovely.
And I hear horns honking as people drive by. As people drive by the Don and Mike World Broadcast headquarters.
Hey, better kick him in.
These are all the people who hate you, Rockhead. All these people. Everybody should drive by the station with Rockhead taped to a tree. If you hate him, honk your horns. Let us hear you.
And Charlie, have you conveniently taped a microphone to his chest?
I'm getting ready to.
That is pretty funny. Brilliant. I like that. They are taping a microphone to Rockhead's chest.
There you go. And... God. There's Tammy out there. Tammy's out there with a big WJFK sign,
of course,
to make sure that anybody who drives by makes sure that they know it's us.
This
taking this guy to a tree.
This is much like the phone screeners are punished in China.
We'd whack him with a stick if we could.
Sure.
Right. There goes Tom, the owner of the building, with a shovel. That's not right. Get someone to do that, Tom.
No, no, don't do that, Tom.
He was ready to get a big shovel full of snow and put it on Rockhead's head.
Now, what are they? What's that? A WJFK jacket?
Yeah.
It's just a jacket in case you got cold.
Oh, you're such a nice warden.
I love when Charlie has to talk to me and come close to me like that.
So let me explain what's going on now. As we are speaking, Mike Rockhead has been duct taped to a tree. His hands, his legs, his shoulders. Could you move? Could you try to break out of that? Do you think you could break out? Don't touch your nuts.
This is the punishment for failing to come into work when everyone else did yesterday.
Hey, Charlie, why don't you strap down his hands so that he can't scratch his nuts? He was just doing that a moment ago as if to show us that he had some rights,
yes,
some freedom left.
Some incredible package, too. It's not true.
There you go. So now he's actually taped, duct taped to a tree.
Hey, Rockhead, is the tape giving you any warmth?
this electrical duct tape, and there's a microphone that is taped directly under his chin, so that we can remain in constant contact with him, yet he does not have to hold the microphone.
I'm Mr. McWilliams.
So, Rockhead, now you can lean your whole body weight forward and the tree and the tape is...
I'm not going to.
It's supporting
Charlie
you.
Is. It's very thorough.
So, yesterday, tell us what else you did yesterday besides J-O-ing and having... What did he have to eat yesterday?
Tortellini.
What did you do yesterday besides J-O and have tortellini?
I watched The General's Daughter. I admit it's Sunday, but did not watch it yet. I watched that and I played a little PlayStation.
PlayStation.
9-2000. That would be it. I probably took a BM, too.
And I'll tell you, Wendell, you're right out of Fargo. I'll tell you that right now. Wendell, that is a Fargo outfit.
Yeah.
Heck of a deal. Yes, sir.
Yeah, deal. Deal. All right, what are they doing now? They're retaping him now, it looks like.
He's taping my penis now for some reason.
That's on Broyhill. That's cruel and unusual punishment that will be on Commissioner Broyhill's account.
So, are you feeling hypothermic yet?
Yeah, I'm just feeling it in my hands right now.
He hasn't been out there long enough yet, Mike.
For the real hypothermia to set in.
Yeah, we gotta wait.
You remember that one intern we had that died of exposure?
Sure do.
Yeah, that was a long day.
And now Charlie and Wendell are walking away.
Yes.
Leaving Rockhead by himself taped to a tree.
Hello, Rockhead.
Hello, boys.
This is the real highlight right here.
This is the life.
We have taken our phone screener and we have taped him to a tree and he is out there alone.
Happy holidays.
He's alone in 2 feet of snow. He chose not to wear a jacket.
Yes, he made that decision. It's the way he lives most of his life. He didn't think it through.
It's called living dangerously.
Is it cold? Is he getting cold?
Yeah, it's damn cold out here.
How come you didn't wear a jacket?
I don't know, Mike. I just didn't.
That's a good answer.
I don't know.
You know what's funny? I see people almost getting in accidents because he's taped to the tree,
right,
so that he's facing the studio. He's not facing the traffic out on Main Street. People are actually having to crane their necks.
You don't get a real good look at him
when they drive by the CBS building to get a look at him.
But feel free to give a honk when you drive
by. Go back to shoveling, Jeff.
Oh. There you go. Let's just enjoy this for a moment. Now, what is this? Oh, we have a crown to put on his head. Okay.
It's nice. His dunce crown.
Okay.
There he is. Oh, don't shake it off. Oh, he's so uncooperative. We're going to have to duct tape your head to the tree.
They went out and put a crown on his head, and he shook it off.
Wait, we could tape it to his head.
Okay, now.
What are they putting?
Now,
Tommy, you're really getting quite a thrill out of this.
Are you part of the show? That wasn't me.
What was Tom sticking the? Why was Tom sticking a stick in you?
I don't know. This guy Tom is the guy who owns the building.
Right.
He's the George Jefferson of this building. And for whatever reason, he just went out and took like this big branch that fell off a tree and shoved it in Rockhead's pocket. Why he did that, I don't know.
He likes the torture.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to thank Don and Mike I had a lot of fun here. And I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you lose, so that's why you won.
All right.
But I want to thank all of you for supporting the Children's Hospital. It's a very, very good cause, and it'll make us all much happier. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're terrific on the radio. You have great wit and great energy, and you're fun to listen to. And I don't know how you do it for 3 or 4 hours like that and keep it going with that pace. You're really terrific, and I appreciate it. Everybody, have a good summer.
Thank you, Dick Van Patten. Thanks a lot, Dick.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have,
best of Don and Mike.
Now wait, Charlie Broyhill is taking the crown off.
Oh, look at how nice he's being.
Ow, that's my hair.
What are you doing to him,
he's
Charlie?
He's helping you.
What's he doing? He's putting a hat on his head.
Pull my hair out.
Oh, he's putting like a stocking cap on him.
And gloves.
And gloves.
Yeah.
Since when do we afford all these luxuries?
You know, it's at Amnesty International when they called the show.
Yeah,
they wanted human. We were doing a few human rights violations.
I thought we were supposed to be teaching him. How are we gonna learn him anything if we give him gloves?
I would venture to say we could leave him out there naked, taped to a tree. He wouldn't learn nothing. Just the kind of guy he is.
Mm-hmm. Anything.
All right, now the crown is gone. That gone on top of the skull cap.
you do look extra goofy dumb right now.
Yeah, he does. if it's possible for him to look any goofy dumbier than he already does.
Maybe we could get a picture so you can take a look at it later and see how handsome you are.
That'd make a nice screensaver, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That would make a nice mouse pad.
Don't leave because I don't trust the people.
I know.
All right, here comes Big Gum Jim. Oh, it's another hat for you. It's a Santa Claus hat.
You
put it right on top of the crown.
This is where.
That wasn't me.
You're so uncooperative.
This is where the people.
Jimmy, don't hit him.
Jim McClure just slapped him in the head. Because he went, let me explain what happened. He has like this skull cap, like a knit cap on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then on top of that, he has a crown. On top of that, Jim McClure put a Santa Claus hat. And apparently that's where Rocket decided he had enough.
Right.
So he shook his head. All the caps fell on the ground. Jim McClure came over and slapped him in the side of the head.
There you go.
Up, and he's just knocked all the hats off again. Oh. You know, Charlie, you might have to tape his head.
That's because it's spilled with meat.
You might just have to tape his forehead to the tree.
All three of the hats don't fit on his head.
Yeah, because it's too fat, filled with meat.
Too much brain.
Yeah.
Too much brain, my
too
ass.
Brain. That's
too much
brain. That's a lot of gristle.
Too much brain.
So do you feel like you've learned your lesson?
I've learned my lesson.
I don't
Next
think he has
Monday,
yet.
I will be here.
I don't think he's learned his lesson yet. I think he needs a little while more.
I do. I believe so.
Just a little while to think about things.
I have learned my lesson.
Good long while.
Is there remorse, regret?
I don't hear it, Buzz.
Remorse, Buzz.
So
I regret.
Do you think he really...
I should have risked my life to be here yesterday.
Do you think he'd die if we left him overnight and came back the next day?
Be a great experiment.
Yeah, it really would.
I'd really love to try it. See, and Buzz... In answer to your question, no, I don't hear remorse.
No, I haven't heard it either.
I still hear more of that.
I hear it in there.
More of that sass tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says, next time I will risk my life to come into work, that's his way of saying F you.
And listen, genius, when you're talking about remorse, the sentence, I don't know what else to tell you, shouldn't be part of your vernacular, okay?
I apologize.
You should.
I'd like to hear, how long is my song here? 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear a 2.5 minute apology to myself, to Mike, to Buzz, to Charlie, to Rob,
and to our listening audience.
To all the people listening right now who you let down yesterday.
And maybe we'll consider freeing you if it's decent enough.
Mike, Don, Buzz, Charlie, Rob, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. I wish I could look you in the eye right now. I have to look down at the microphone. I am sorry for not showing up yesterday. And to Big Gum Jim, thank you very much. You were wonderful yesterday. I could have taken a lesson.
All right, that's great. That's only about 20 seconds. Keep going. You got about 2 more minutes to fill.
Why are you sorry? Go on that riff.
I apologize for not coming in yesterday.
Why?
I was in my car, and I should have just kept coming.
Yes.
And for that, I truly am sorry.
And now specifically speak to our listening audience.
Our listeners, I know you missed me yesterday, and for that, I apologize.
Bill, you marvelous sportscaster. And now give me play-by-play on a home run by Mark McGuire.
Yeah, that's good. So we get into the home run.
You mean the big dickhead going deep?
What did he say?
What was that? What?
The big dickhead going deep.
The big dickhead going deep.
My hatred for Mark McGuire.
Oh, you don't like Mark McGuire. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
There's a popular stance, moron. All right, let's do some of your play-by-play.
Because, you know, that's his goal someday.
Right, to be a play-by-play
baseball
announcer.
This idiot phone screener we have. He wants to be like the next Vin Scully.
It's a little too windy on here to be
That's his
down.
Pathetic pipe dream. All right, would you like
you
to give us...
apologize some more?
You know, then, yeah, keep going the apology and apologize to the listeners like you mean it.
They know I mean it. They know I love them very much. And I would never do anything to intentionally hurt them. And I have wronged.
You have wronged?
Yes.
Yes.
Or you mean you have erred?
No, I have wronged.
Now you wrong somebody, you err.
But I have wronged them.
There, that's
and you have erred. And as long as you're out there strapped to a tree, what else would you like to apologize for? How about your bad attitude at work? How about your lack of enthusiasm?
My enthusiasm is lacking the last couple of days, but it has been rejuvenated.
The hypothermia is starting to set in now. And now, can you call
teeth
a,
are chattering,
call a game for us? Call a game for us, okay? Come on, give us a little play-by-play.
I can't do that right.
Complete
now.
With the that thing you do. Come on, that's funny.
I can't do it right now.
We'll free you if you do that.
I apologize.
Oh, Rob, roll tape.
I'm gonna fart.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Stand by. Now, don't move the microphone around so much. Wait till it's steady. Lysol, please.
You just keep giving. I just felt it coming out.
Maybe it was his speech that brought it out.
I thought I could do better than I'd done before in our contest.
Your first one was better.
You think so?
I think just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm nobody to talk because my effort was very weak.
Rockhead, anyway, excuse me.
I apologize for my weak fart, by the way.
Now, that's good. That's the first real remorse I've heard.
What would you like to say to the many people who have called the show and you have inadvertently hung up on or been rude to?
I apologize.
Is that cold?
I was very rude to you.
Is that cold? Is that cold getting to you?
Rockhead?
Oh, wait, the law is here. The law, no.
What
the
is
law,
the law?
The law.
The law has nothing to do with this. There are two cops outside.
The law, you know what? This is it, Rocket. They're taking you away. They're taking you away.
We're not breaking any law by taping this guy to a tree.
I don't think so. Well, we'll find out shortly.
Would you think the cops would have more important things to worry about today than coming by because we're taping a guy to a tree?
I'd like to say hi to the officers on our monitor outside.
Can you? Well, no, I would say this to their face. Hey, guys. We're on private property. All we're doing is taping this dude to a tree because he just won't listen.
Well, let's see if we can hear what the locals are saying.
Let's see, Charlie.
I would put the mic closer if I could.
What's going on, Rocket?
Hey, Jimmy. Know? Jimmy, get on microphone. Can you tell me what the officers are saying?
Right, I guess it's going on right
Jimmy's
now.
Going to listen now.
They're worried about the traffic. If there's an accident out here.
Oh, okay.
People looking at Rockhead.
Oh, really? Well, we certainly didn't intend that.
It was my good looks.
You a-hole.
Oh, God.
Well, I think it's only right that you pay for any damages caused by any wrecks with people straining their necks to look at you.
Jimmy, could you ask the officers if there's an accident, will Rockhead be responsible?
Hold on, here comes Charlie Broyhill to the microphone.
We're being forced by the police to stop this at once.
Okay.
All right.
My saviors. No, there's a potential for an accident.
All right. Well, we got him. At least we punished him.
Okay.
At least we got some punishment.
There he's being cut loose now.
That's right.
Police have done their job again.
Fantastic.
Huzzah! Huzzah for the men in blue.
There we go.
Oh, we just have to torture him inside, then, where we won't cause any kind of
Thank you.
any kind of a traffic problem.
Next time we can put him down in the garage.
Well, there won't be a next time.
Yeah.
There won't be. Me and I had a discussion today, and he has decided to explore other options in his career. But he's going to hang on until we get a replacement.
Oh, very good. That's
great. So it'll be an amiable parting that we have with Mike Rockhead.
Now you can hear the sound of the duct tape being removed from Mr. Rockhead.
They were dicks.
Who said that?
I did, Charlie.
Well, who was dicks? The cops?
Yes.
Why, what did they say?
There's a potential.
Oh, so there wasn't a real accident?
No, there's a potential there could be one, and we would be sued if there was.
Well, shouldn't those guys be, like, looking for bank robbers and stuff instead of worrying about us?
There's a potential of an accident.
There are lots of guys like Rockhead running around the streets.
I mean, they should be worried more about real crime and junk than worrying about us taping a goofy phone guy to a tree.
No, you heard Rocket. It's his incredible good looks.
Whatever. All right. Well, punishment over. Thanks. Punishment over courtesy of the Fairfax City Police.
All right. They're coming in. They're making their way back in. He will be now having the pleasure to answer your phones all day.
Yes, he will.
You can give him your personal response to his statement of remorse.
Here now is Chuck Broyhill.
I just want to say, we have bomb threats, and they laugh at us. We tie someone out to a tree, and they're by here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really laugh? Do they really laugh when we get the bomb threat?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie. I agree.
don't think we're doing anything wrong out there. Frankly, I really don't.
Yeah.
And they don't have more important stuff to do the day after a blizzard?
I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever. We comply.
You gotta say that like the Simpsons guy.
Whatever. Whatever. Well, I hope he's learned his lesson. Hey, Rocket, come here. Have you learned your lesson?
Let's find out. That's a good question.
In your limited time that you have left with this show, do you think now that you'll be a more remorseful employee? Michael Rocket, do you think you've learned your lesson?
Of course.
Do you think that this is a life lesson that you will take to your next job?
Yes.
That whatever your next job is, if it snows, if it rains, you'll come in?
I will be there in a flash.
Good. Lesson learned?
Learned well.
Oh, good. Okay, go greet your public.
All right. Nothing but love on those phones today.
There you go.
Nothing but love. Remember, thick skin. Come on now. Gotta have it. Thick skin, baby.
There he goes.
There is the punishment of Michael Rocket. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Timmy Obibone to tell you more.
This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show comes to Element right in my hometown, Washington, D.C. Element is right by the MCI Center at 714 6th Street Northwest. There's plenty of parking. Or take the red line to Gallery Place. Doors open at 5, show starts at 8. And you gotta be 21 to get in. For more info, 301-840-8793 or check out clubelement.com.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
For the girls, the less clothes, the better.
Don't miss it.
I had sex with him for about a year and a half. I liked having sex with him. He wasn't afraid of experimenting. I like men like that. Men who give me pleasure. He gave me a lot of pleasure.
Tune for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Someone who says he accepts Rockhead's apology.
Okay.
I guess he didn't put through all the calls that people tell him to go scratch. Hello, Jeff.
He wanted to make sure this one would get through.
Right.
I do accept the apology of Mike, or he did actually sound sincere. Although I wish we would have had the opportunity to throw snowballs or with him or whatever. But
okay. I know there's a lot of hatred out there for him.
Absolutely.
But listen, everybody listening should know that this is not a bit or a gag.
Mm-hmm.
I really had a meeting with Rockhead today, and we discussed his future and mutually decided that he has no future on this show. So he is going to move on
right.
in his career, and we are going to replace him.
Oh, that's a shame.
But until such time as we find a replacement,
right.
he will still be slogging in answering the telephone calls.
And the Fairfax City Police blow. Believe me, at least to live there.
All right, well, thank you, my friend. I just think that they could have handled it nicer. They yes. could have been a little less Nazi-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could come up and say, listen, guys, you have the chance that you could have a traffic problem. Why don't you please move
yeah,
it inside?
I agree.
Instead, they came by and, you know, tried to strong-arm Charlie and said,
right.
you know, move it inside. We just heard the whole thing
right.
from Broyhill about
yeah,
the stuff I mean, they were telling him.
It could have been done differently.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hello, Paisley.
Yes.
Ooh. Paisley, what a neat name that is.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Man.
Well, I just, you know, I'm all for cops. My uncle's one. But, you know, there are three cars on the road. What's up with that? There was no traffic.
Now, listen, let me tell you something, honey. It's been long-standing here since we started working at this station. Virtually every time we do anything outside,
mm-hmm.
the cops come by.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I don't know if it's people in the neighborhood that call
right.
and complain. I don't know if it's just that these guys are listening to the show with nothing better to do.
We're used to it.
You know.
I'm for that one.
They come by, but all, you know, all we can do is say, okay, you know, we'll stop whatever we're doing.
That's what we did.
I know.
That's why Rockhead's,
right.
that's why Rockhead's inside now all warm and toasty, taking all his love calls.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paisley.
Bye, honey.
All right. Goodbye. Bye, honey. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, guys? Listen, Mike, I have never been a fan of Mike Rockhead, but I do want to say that I think his apology sounded sincere to me. I think he sounded like he was truly sorry for not coming
in. You tape somebody to a tree, that'll get a little remorse out of them.
Yeah, I think doing something like that is bound to get them feeling sorry, at least for themselves and nothing else.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
I bet he wallows in a great deal of self-pity.
Oh, absolutely. No, but you know, it's a balancing act.
Right.
Because he balances between self-pity
self-pity.
And bravado.
And this amazing ego that he has.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at him today when I was having this meeting with him. I had a meeting with him before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, no ball busting. All the crap from the show aside.
Right.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy. We like him. And that is the truth.
And you're a good worker. I said, but really, you don't bring a lot to the job. You don't seem to be real enthused about the job. And he explained to me a situation that he works another job.
Yeah, he's got another gig, right.
He works an overnight shift, and a lot of times he comes in here, he's sleep-deprived, and he's got kind of a thin skin for the stuff that goes on the show. And while he was giving me this lengthy diatribe, I was looking at him, and the only thing I could think is you know, he really is not handsome.
but he thinks he is.
He thinks he has this. He alternates between being totally petrified,
right,
and this intense bravado,
right.
I mean, it's a fine line. I'm
strange
looking at
man.
That. I'm thinking, you know, on one hand, I look at him when I'm having the conversation today, and
right.
It looks like he's about to fall apart. But then 2 seconds later, it's like he puffs out his chest and he says, "You know what? You're right. I should move beyond this job."
Yeah, he said.
I should move on to something else.
Yeah, I've never met one like him. I'll be honest with you. I have to tell you that. There has not been a person that has done that job that I have ever met that is like Rocket. He is really weird.
He's not handsome. I want to say that for the record.
He tells you, I get the impression when he comes in here, he does speak his mind. He says what's on his mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's very little game playing with Mikey Rocket.
It's true. He thinks he's handsome.
He does.
He really
believes
does.
He's handsome.
Hello, Jim.
Yes.
Maybe his mommy told him that or something.
And he believed it.
Ma Rockhead. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. Turn down your radio, please, Jim.
Yes. When Mike Rockhead leaves, it's going to be a real pisser when he leaves.
Explain that, please.
Well, I mean, he brings something to the radio. I mean, he's always busting his chest about him being so handsome and everything.
Yes.
So you're saying it's going to be bad when he leaves.
Right.
Now, listen, you will soon forget about him, and we'll replace him with another person. That's one position on the show that is in constant flux.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, let's be honest. It's kind of a dead-end job, and, you know, that's the bottom line.
Right. It's a job that pays no benefits.
Right.
There's no insurance at all. It pays a relatively small hourly wage,
mm-hmm.
and there's no overtime involved.
Right.
You can only work a certain amount of hours a week, so it is a dead-end position.
Yeah. And it's a good job for somebody who wants to, like, get into a radio station, and somebody that actually maybe is doing something else and just wants to do that for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in all seriousness, that's what it's for.
In 3 years, you'll see him at 11 o'clock giving some play-by-play commentary from some low-lame...
How much you want to bet on that?
Okay, thank you, my friend.
There you go.
Right.
I think that's the real day.
That's one of his fan members.
Hello, David.
I think he should stick around. I think he should reconsider.
You know, that's a decision that's really already been made.
Well.
Unless, what would Rockhead do? I mean, he'd have to come back down in hand.
Well, he does hang up on people, but I think it's only because he believes that's what you want.
No, listen, this is the problem. I don't want to get into a whole...
This is what happens when we, you know, when you're nice enough to let the listeners in on everything that's going on. You got all the, the Monday morning quarterbacks backseat drivers.
You guys really don't know what's going on. I don't want to get into it with you, but...
Okay, I'll leave the driving to you.
Even though it is a relatively low-paid position and it's a dead-end position, it's a position that's very important to any radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike... Because he gets hung up on a lot, and because people call him names a lot,
right?
Sometimes he's not able to focus on the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
He will sit back there, and he will fume, and rather than answer telephone calls and try to find calls of people who want to come on the show, he's more intent on finding some guy's phone number,
right,
who called him up and called him a fag.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll spend all day just focusing on that one telephone call.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you know, you've been back there a lot of times, and you see he's got his head in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Let's not kid ourselves. It's a little difficult to deal with that, and you do need a thick skin, and many times he will have days where he's pretty possessed by some of these calls.
And he just can't focus on his job.
He just can't take it personal, that's all.
I tried to tell him that. I mean, I swear to God, that was the conversation I started to have with him today.
Mm-hmm.
Was the don't take it so personal speech, and it ended up being Rockhead telling me, well, he's got this other job and he thinks maybe it's time we part company.
Right.
So I said, okay, c'est la vie.
Goodbye. You're dead to me.
No.
Bring in the next body. Be prepared to be taped to the tree today.
Oh, man. All right.
Thank you, David.
But obviously, we are, you know, it is going to be an amicable party because of the fact that he did allow himself to be taped to the tree today.
Right.
So, I mean, that's good. That's a good thing.
He's all right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Chris.
Yeah. Isn't there, like, some place you can take him and tie him back up where the police won't bust on you?
Well, only inside the station.
He's been punished today.
Okay. Well, how long is it going to take to replace him? About 4 minutes?
It's one of his buddies calling right now.
All right. Hello. Hello, Dave in Idaho.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I was listening to your show when you talked about the fire marshal, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The
guy with the parking spots, yeah.
Yeah. What the hell's up with that? Was there like a fire drill in your building or what?
No, they're talking about the sprinkler system that needs to be brought up to specs. And so the fire marshal told everybody that was parked in the underground garage to amscray.
And he just takes your spot like he's king of the hill or something, huh?
Well, he was, in this case, he was king of the hill.
He has that authority.
He came in with his fire guy coat and his fire guy car and
there is a tremendous groundswell of question authority mentality today.
Yes, there
is indeed. There's some angry people out there.
And frankly, I wonder why so many public servants have decided to come down on this radio station today. You know,
I would
think the day after a blizzard,
yes,
that the fire marshal would have something else to do and that the police would have something else to do, but
they
don't. So let's deal with it. Let's move on.
Hey, what do you think about Idaho?
Pardon me?
You ever come out to Idaho before?
No. Hello, Riley or Mark.
You dicks.
Why?
Dicks? I don't know. I just like it.
No, he's Riley.
Yeah, I want the job.
Well, listen, Riley, everybody does.
Yeah, okay, but how much does he make?
I mean, you might not be qualified.
I'm very qualified.
No, I'm saying you might not be qualified. Without even talking to you, I'm thinking you might not be qualified.
You're a board op in Burlington.
He's a board op?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still think you might not be qualified.
So what do I do not to be qualified? I mean, did I just come on, you know, too strong?
Nope.
Yeah, goodbye. I think basically the next time we fill this position, NPA. No penis allowed.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think boys, excuse me. I mean, I'm talking to Buzz and Rob here. A little more enthusiastic round of applause for that.
Generally, our audience responds better to a hottie answering the telephones than they do some big, cheesy intern.
That's right. Yes, here comes Charles Broyhill.
Hello, sir.
Hi, I want you to know I will be hiring the most qualified applicant.
Okay. All right, Mr. EEO, I got you.
Very good, Charlie.
Okay. Just as long as she has a vagina.
It's the law.
That's all we care about, Charlie. You see that zit on the end of his nose? It's
gotten worse.
Gigantic.
Taking over his whole head.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, is it Rockette?
Here he comes again. No, this is not Rockette.
No, yeah. No,
hey, hold on a second. How would you like to try to pop that zit right now in the air?
I tried popping it many times at home, and there's nothing to come out.
I believe I'm looking at what is called a blind pimple. So
okay.
There's nothing to pop.
No, it's just been really, I mean, sore. It feels a lot better today than it has in the past, because I couldn't rub it like I am.
That hurts me
when
you
rub it.
Try to squeeze
it. Will you just try? Please?
How does that
sound? Squeeze real hard.
I am.
Is there no pus coming out?
No pus. This more oil comes out.
Take a razor blade?
Oh. I used a pin. I used a pin to try to, you know, to get some stuff out, but
that
nothing.
Is really, I mean, it's huge. You might have to go to a dermatologist.
Oh, it'll go away.
You might have to have that lanced.
Lance that boil.
Lance that boil. You've got a boil on the end of your nose.
I do.
A blind boil.
It's a big boil.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Back then, drinking usually was a source of humor, especially on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Off camera, no one recognized a problem.
I don't ever recall him not showing up. I don't ever recall him getting surly or nasty. I mean, I'm sure you'll hear this, too. At certain times at around 5 o'clock, he would draw martini glasses on his script while we were having notes or something like that. But it never seemed to be an issue.
Back live in studio tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Joe. Joe, you're on the air. Joey.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. One, when Mike gets fired, do you think he'll rehire Luthard to be the screener?
No,
absolutely not.
No.
Oh. And another thing, do you remember how you were talking about how your son was disappointed that you were listening to DMX?
Yes.
I think I know why.
If he's anything like my son, he hates that white people listen to black people music. So it might be something like that, because Insane Clown Posse is a bunch of white people singing black people music.
Right, okay. Thank you. Great insight. Thank you, sir.
Brilliant.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Bill, hello, my friend.
Hey, man. You guys let the best screener you had, like, that she left. We got to do whatever we got to do to get Christine Kerner back.
Oh, that's true.
Now, wouldn't I love to, but listen, I seriously had discussions with Christine. Christine got a real job.
Yeah, she's in sales now.
Yes, I mean, she makes a real decent salary. Right. We don't have the money to hire Christine. One night at the Las Vegas style show, I'd had a little too much to drink, and I actually told her, I said, listen,
come back!
Even if I have to pay myself, come back and work. And then she called the next day, and she said, were you serious about that? And I said, of course not. 100% not.
You tease.
Yeah. No, I miss having her around. She was,
yeah, I mean,
she was good.
We can only hear what she sounds like on the radio, but we can just imagine what she actually looks like. You know, she's got to be
a
knockout hottie.
I think it's important to point out now that Charlie Broyhill will be hiring the best qualified candidate.
Mm-hmm. With large breasts. Hello, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you?
We're great, thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that what you did to poor Mikey Rockhead was cruel, immature, and childish, but you know what?
What?
I loved it.
Thank you.
Of course you did.
You guys are so bad.
Yes.
Teach me.
Teach you how to be bad?
Teach me your evil ways.
Mm, I bet you're a very bad girl.
No.
Mm, I bet you are.
On that.
I bet you are.
May I?
No, why'd you give yourself...
I don't use my evil powers anymore.
Why don't you give yourself a nipple twister right now? Give yourself a purple nurple right now.
Purple nurple. Yours are bigger. I've seen you guys.
Cool. See, I told you. You can be mean.
See, we don't have a thick skin at all. You know, we tell other people to have thick skins, but that hurt.
Ouch.
No, it didn't.
Ouch. Who's the...
I've seen you guys.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
I'm Latina, so
yes.
I look like,
yes.
I don't know, I look like, I look like, a little bit of Selma Hayek,
Lopez. Jennifer Lopez.
Splash, please.
And is there another splash?
Who's that doctor from Providence?
You mean the TV show Providence?
Yeah.
Like Katrina Getty's or something.
The curly hair.
What is it? What is her name? Anna Maria Alberghetti? What's her name?
Yeah.
Oh, what, Robbie?
Is that Mike Farrell?
Mike Farrell.
All right, goodbye, Vanessa.
Okay. Goodbye. Robbie shouldn't talk either.
Goodbye, Connie.
Goodbye, Sammy.
Mean. There is love here today.
How was that? I called her Connie, but then she called me what?
Sammy.
That makes no sense.
I don't know. Hello. I don't understand. Why are they comparing me to the word cunning?
Hello, Derek. Derek, buddy.
All right, you have
Doug. Doug. Hi, what do you want?
Hey, radio guy, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, is he going to leave the station or is he going to be there still?
You know, I got to tell you something. I'm sorry, and I don't want to slam anybody, but I got to... Yesterday when we had, and you brought this up on the show, we had Big Gum Jim on the phone. We had calls that we hadn't had calls like this, but we are right back into Rockhead style calls.
Right
now. He sucks in the morons to this show.
He does.
He's crackhead, not Rockhead.
These are all the people that he should have hung up on. These are all screen calls I'm taking.
These
right
are
now.
His people.
Right.
No, you should unload on him.
Enough with this. There's just two people I want to talk to right now. First,
okay, very good.
Rob Grippy, there's no chance you can have this job. Don't bother calling.
Oh, please.
No.
I've been waiting for years for this chance.
Rob, never in a million years.
Oh,
go back and deliver pizzas.
You don't have the initiative.
Go back and deliver pizzas. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Dennis.
You want to have a good day, what?
Dennis, there's no chance we will give you this job.
Dennis, you make more money doing all the things you do surrounding the show.
I know, but, you know, I do have a good game. People call me another asshole.
Dennis.
People call me your one-handed
Dennis, you know how sick people would get of you if you were answering the
phone?
Do
you know how sick we would get of you if we had to see you every day?
How could we do that, Don?
Dennis, don't you think that the way the relationship works right now with Dennis Murphy Enterprises, don't you think that, it's better the way it is?
Okay.
You know, get to travel and do more exciting things?
You know, it's much better, like the way you called the show. You know how sometimes you don't call us for 3 or 4 weeks, then when you call, we're all excited to hear from you?
No, but Don, that's the way you want it, right?
Right.
A couple weeks?
Yes.
Imagine
right.
What it would be if you were here every day.
Oh, Christ.
Hey, Don, like, I am very proficient on the phone.
Dennis, I don't doubt your qualifications. I'm just telling you.
Great one-handed typer.
It would ruin our relationship.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Dennis, to be honest, you're a star.
A major effing star.
It's not a job for a major effing star.
Beneath you.
Thank you for calling me that. By the way, those shirts are still available.
Oh, the Dennis Murphy shirts, right.
Okay, that's good. You can blackmail us. That's fine.
Your Austin Power shirts, right?
Have you worn my shirts yet? My Austin Powers?
I have not worn it. No, I have not.
Oh, I bet Fever has.
I think the shirt is still unworn, Dennis.
Oh, my God. How about you, Mike?
No.
Okay. Oh, man.
But I have your CD on my desk at home.
But your wife took the cover out, right?
No, she just brought it out and said, can we get rid of this?
All right, see, Dennis, listen.
I have a question.
Can you imagine every day coming into the office and going through this in real life? In real time, you know what I mean? Looking at this guy having that hot breath blow in your face and having these discussions. Having these discussions after every commercial set when we leave the studio.
You know what it would be also? This
what?
Is good. Well, if you did that job, you'd have far less airtime than you do normally.
Well, I know that because wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want to go?
You know, sometimes you're just too tenacious. You know that?
No, I told you yesterday when you called about it, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You're the mascot of this show.
Thank you.
You got it?
Okay. Hey, guess what?
What?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania wants me to come up and do a couple of bar stops.
Fantastic.
That's great. We wouldn't let you do that if you were a phone screener.
We're all for that. Go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Make some personal appearances.
Also, can I say one other thing?
Yes.
I'll be a Saki Garb on Sunday at Ocean City.
Yes. No, listen, you're so hot, Dennis. You're so in demand.
And I'll be on the radio, too, so your mother-in-law can hear me.
What time are they putting you on the radio?
He's a pest today.
They're having a pre-Super Bowl party, and they want me to show up and have a couple of, have some input to the show.
Yeah, have a couple of cocktails.
Jesus Christ. Robbie, where's the train wreck sound effect?
Oh, come on,
God. That's a train wreck if I've ever heard it. You're having a Super Bowl show and you invite Dennis Murphy down to give expert commentary while you're plying him with cocktails.
God, I would like to tell you that I do know a lot about football.
I don't doubt that, Dennis.
I know a lot about college basketball.
Would you like to give Dennis a football quiz?
Dennis, how many members of the Jacksonville, Tennessee defense can you tell me from last week's AFC Championship game? How many members of the Jacksonville Jaguars or Tennessee Titans defense can you name?
Kirky from Tennessee.
Curse.
Kirky.
No, the name is Curse.
Oh, okay.
Javon Curse.
That's the only one I know. Okay.
Oh, listen to that. First off, he only knows one guy.
And then he says,
and then he drops the S bomb.
Okay.
All right.
But I know five Jacksonville players are going to Pro Bowl.
Well, that's pretty good.
Well, big deal.
Huh?
Big deal.
Okay. And I know Steve McNair is a quarterback. And I know Scott Brunell, who you love.
Mark Brunell.
Yeah, I can't wait to see hear your commentary at that Super Bowl show.
Thank you. Who wears number 27 for Tennessee?
Oh, Eddie George.
All right, you got one right. Who wears number 87 for Tennessee?
89 is Whitecheck.
Who wears 87?
87 is a wide receiver.
Duh.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith?
No, my last name's Smith.
No, it's Yancey Thigpen.
Oh, okay. Okay, Don. I think you made your point.
Who wears number 80 for the St. Louis Rams?
87 is Paul, I know that.
Who wears number 80?
I know this one. I'm going to do it, too, because I have a cursory knowledge of football.
I don't know.
That's nice. Is it Isaac Bruce?
Yes, Isaac Bruce.
Hey,
what's the name of that, Dennis? What's the name of the little middle linebacker for the Rams?
Okay.
London Fletcher.
That's a good name. I like that name.
Yeah.
Okay, I am not public in NFL talk right now.
Who's the defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, Capers.
I already knew that one.
Okay.
Dom Capers.
And who was Dom Capers formerly with?
Carolina Panthers.
No, he's just like
he's tossing him some softballs, though.
Well, they're softballs because I know the answer.
Yeah, I know. That's why they're softballs.
And, Mike, give me your softball question. I'm sure I'll know.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Can I give a shout-out to Montgomery County?
No. Come on. Go away.
No,
enough of you today. Enough today.
Dennis, you are really a pain in the ass today.
Enough.
Okay.
Enough. Goodbye. Go do your personal appearances. Go do your Super Bowl radio show.
Okay.
All right.
Have a pleasant night, Don.
I will.
Mike.
Yes, Dennis.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you,
Bug.
Dennis. Yes, Dennis.
As always, I love you.
I love you, too.
Don, I'm out of here.
Thank God.
Oh, come on, Don.
Come on, Dennis.
What?
God,
hang
you
up the phone.
This is why Charlie's ready to kill him most of the time. I mean, Charlie gets this off air. He really, when Dennis is just, I want.
Jesus Christ, could you imagine that? Could you imagine coming into the office every day and have him sitting there behind the desk? Hi!
Dennis's show business motto is always leave the audience wanting less.
Time out. But enough discussion about Rockhead. And please, no more. And listen. Tom, there's no way you can have that job.
Which one?
The phone screener job.
I can have it if I want.
No, you can't. And all of our regular idiot callers, please stop calling. This position is not open to you.
It's open to me. I can come in and do the
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't, Tom.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't, Tom.
No, and you're not Charlie. So stop talking like him. I never want to hear you talk like him again.
All right.
I tell you what. You can be the phone screener when you can spell the word thalidomide. Go look that one up, Tom. I'll see you.
There he goes. Off to his dictionary. Never says goodbye.
We'll be right back.
The Don and Mike.
This is Willie Finger. That's wonderful.
Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
How does End of Days star Arnold Schwarzenegger relax after a tough day fighting the devil?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I've watched a lot of his movies, and I would say it's doing the New York Times crossword puzzle.
He's so angry.
I'm so stupid.
No, he paints pottery.
Oh, please.
It's such great therapy. Arnold told the L.A. Times. The legendary tough guy unwinds at a little store in Santa Monica. We happen to have the phone number for the store.
Good.
Arnold goes there to paint flowers, hearts, dolphins, and butterflies on ceramic mugs.
Man. Do they let him weave a few baskets, too, when he's there?
Arnold has come in so often he's now an old pro, says a store employee. Arnold picks out his paints and pottery in advance. He sits for hours in his own little world, painting mugs.
Oh, and I say, get me the pot so I can do the big thing with the dolphins on the side.
Arnold also occasionally brings his kids with him from time to time. They have a ball together. Staff at the store bake the finished creations, and they're ready for pickup in a day or two. Don't let the muscles fool you. Arnold is a tough guy in the movies, but in real life, here's a great big teddy bear.
Hey, that didn't come out of the PR machine for Arnold Schwarzenegger, did it now?
All right, well, I bet they didn't expect.
Yeah.
Maybe we would find the phone number of the place.
That's right.
The place is called Color Me Mine.
Find out if the drawings are more like stick figures.
I wonder if he's ever tried folding a piece of paper in half and cutting a heart out of it.
Color Me Mine, Santa Monica. How can I help you?
Yes, hello. Color Me Mine. Hello, this is the Don and Mike radio show where on the radio right now doing a national radio show. How are you today? Happy holidays.
No, happy holidays. I'm fine.
Can you tell me, does Arnold Schwarzenegger really come in your store to paint pottery?
Yes.
He does.
He does. His kids come in here all the time.
And he comes in frequently.
Well, he hasn't been in here lately, but his kids have.
Really? And does he ever come in by himself without his kids?
I've never seen him in here by himself.
The drawings that Arnold does, how would you classify them? Are they talented drawings or are they simple drawings?
He's pretty good.
Really? What's some of the best stuff you've seen him do?
A mug. I've seen him do a mug.
A mug. Can you tell us what he's drawn on the mug?
Ashtray.
What does he draw?
He just paints like objects. I don't know, like circles and.
Has he ever drawn a swastika?
A what?
Well, you know, there's that story about his dad.
That's true.
Does he have weird symbols on the mugs?
Oh, no.
No?
Does he draw like, would they be like stick figures?
No.
Maybe circles?
He's better, no.
No, I'm reading an article here that says he paints flowers and butterflies. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fire the mugs, and they come out all shiny and
all
and
shiny, yes.
Real nice.
Now, do you ever keep any of those?
Oh, the pieces that he's made?
Yes.
No.
And on these mugs, are there ever any spelling errors?
Oh, yeah.
There are.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Is it common that you have to fix Arnold's bad spelling?
Well, not for Arnold's spelling. No, but we've had other pieces that have misspelled words, but not Arnold.
I think Arnold's found a real home here, if you know what I mean.
I think so.
Absolutely. Is he nice to everybody when he comes in?
Yeah.
And then what
he's
friendly. Do you shuffle him off to like a corner of the... this is obviously a studio of some kind.
Yes.
And he just sits there and for hours draws butterflies on pottery?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that... if you had heard that about someone else, wouldn't you say that's maybe something that a mental patient would do?
Oh, no.
Not at all?
No, not at all.
Be led in a room by yourself to quietly draw pictures of butterflies and hearts and dolphins?
And we let him go in the room by himself?
Does he smoke a cigar when he's doing it?
Oh, no.
No, he doesn't?
No.
Has he ever come on to you?
No.
No, never?
No.
Are there any other famous people that come into your studio?
Yeah.
Like who?
We have Helen Hunt and...
Helen Hunt?
Wow. Helen Hunt, stop the presses.
Wow, does she paint the pottery too?
Yeah.
Really?
Really, would I be able to get any of her used pottery?
Oh, no.
Oh, would I love to do that scene from Ghost with Helen Hunt.
Man, Helen Hunt, fantastic. And who else besides Helen Hunt?
Tyra Banks, and we also had... I don't know her name, that lady that comes out in Home Improvement.
The mom on Home Improvement?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, how big is her butt in real life?
Oh, my God.
The mom on Home Improvement?
Oh, my God, it's huge, huh?
No, I don't be looking.
Oh. You're not looking?
No, I don't look at their butts.
Are you attracted to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Are you attracted to Tyra Banks?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Can we ask you who the celebrity is you most resemble?
Me?
Yes, you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Are you a hot...
This girl sounds like she might be a mental patient, too.
But maybe a hot mental patient.
Yeah.
Are you a hottie?
No.
No?
What's your favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? I'll tell you mine. It's Jingle All the Way.
Oh, really? No, I haven't seen that movie yet.
The one with Sinbad?
No,
he wants the Turbo Man doll?
Of course, I've always got to go with Running Man.
Oh.
What's your favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
In Terminator.
The Terminator.
Right.
Could you look on the schedule and tell us the next time Arnold's coming in?
Oh, we don't know when he's coming in.
He just drops in?
Yeah.
Does he drive up in his Humvee?
I don't know.
Has he ever mentioned to you the dog that he ran over in that Humvee?
No.
You know, he ran over the family animal. It was an accident, but he ran over the family dog in his Humvee.
I guess that's how he relaxes. How much time usually does Arnold spend in the store when he visits?
About an hour.
I guess you can probably draw a lot of like shapes on the mugs when you go in there for an hour.
Does he wear any kind of a hospital gown while he's doing this?
No.
Does he wear a tank top?
Arnold, yeah, he does.
He does.
Does he wear a big straw hat?
He actually does.
He actually wears a tank top and a big straw hat?
Yes.
Does he ever fly into a rage and smash?
He did once.
I'm
kidding.
Really? And why did he fly into a rage?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you're a kidder.
Has he ever mentioned his wife's jaw?
Oh.
His jaw?
Her jaw? Lantern jaw? Maria Shriver?
Do you ever draw pictures of Maria on the side of the mug?
You know what? I really have to go. Oh. I have a lot of customers right now.
Well, you're very, very sweet.
Well, thank you for your time.
Okay.
No, but just for the record, and then we'll let you go, Arnold Schwarzenegger does go into your store, Color Me Mine, and he does paint flowers, hearts, dolphins, and butterflies on ceramic mugs.
Yes.
While wearing a tank top and a straw hat.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank right. you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
That's a scoop.
Well,
okay.
You know, if he's drawing butterflies, you know what you need when you're drawing butterflies. You need a net.
A big net.
Yeah, I have a son that is dying from playing with his father.
Oh. Turbo
he's
Man.
He's dying to have the latest of the toys. And he's talking about this Turbo Man doll. And I play one of those fathers.
Son of toys.
And husband that is too busy.
Oh, how great is that? You know, that's a story that was in the Inquirer.
And
right?
You know that he gets done and it's like, those are beautiful, fantastic, you know, something you'd see like in a preschooler's art class.
Something like Dennis Murphy would draw, probably.
That is just great, Arnold. Well, come back soon. And then he walks out and they all go, ah!
All right, well, that was something that was in the National Enquirer that was actually true.
Fascinating.
And you scooped the tabloids with that tank top bit.
Yeah, you know, they didn't have that in there. You are right. Correct.
Well,
Buzz.
It gets hot back there with all the kilns and all.
Sure.
Where's my straw hat?
Yeah.
I get so angry.
I am just dying to paint the butterflies.
And they says, I've got to have the mug that Arnold made.
Yeah, das ist ein good einen good mug. You old Turbo Man. Look, I drew on the ashtray a little Turbo Man on my cigar ashtray.
You want to see something else from the Inquirer?
Yeah.
A picture of Yasmin Bleach.
Ooh. How's she looking?
Not good.
Is it hit the wall time?
Yeah, well, the headline says, Yasmin kisses her butt goodbye, and her bust has gone the same way.
Really?
Now, they show you a photo here.
Isn't she a friend of the Van Pattens?
Yes. When she was on Baywatch, there's a shot from the rear and a shot of her fantastic boobs.
Yeah, these are the cruelest pictures.
And then they have the shot of her walking down the street.
Okay.
And as you can see, her boobs do look small.
Yeah.
And her ass is big and flat.
Yeah, it looks like it's drooping a little bit.
It says, ex-Baywatch babe Yasmin Bleeth has kissed her assets goodbye. Once a curvy 36C 24-35, the no longer bouncy brunette is as skinny as a toothpick and a lot less cheeky than she used to be. Her hip bones are sticking out. And her butt is as flat as a pancake.
Wow, they're so kind in that publication.
That's amazing.
You don't get a picture of her, too.
And they take the most, really, I think somebody worked to get an unflattering picture. I'd like to see further evidence. I think my theory would be that Yasmin is still hanging in there, I think.
Well, I don't know. Their ass did look big in that picture.
But it's good on Nash Bridges.
I mean, that's something that's hard to hide is a big
ass.
Well,
look, it looked flat. It didn't look big because she's actually thinner than she was on Baywatch.
Yeah, I guess she's lost a little weight. Let me see if there was anything else in this Inquirer that was worth showing to you.
Hillary demands divorce.
Yeah, that I believe.
Okay. Then you have... hold on. Where's the other one? Gwyneth halts Brad and Jennifer's wedding plans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow apparently broke into a wedding with Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
That's a good idea. That sounds like those late-night Inquirer stories.
Let me see. Husband kills cheating wife and buries her with another body.
Eee.
There you go.
Evil.
Stars with a real sixth sense. Oh, and why, you know, and I'm sure he had nothing to do with this getting in the Inquirer, but I hate seeing stuff like, you know, the Charlie Brown guy, the guy has cancer, Charles Schultz.
Charles Schultz, yes.
Okay. I'm sure he didn't go to the Inquirer and say, hey, guess what, I have prostate cancer. Run a picture of me, please.
Yeah.
But they have a publicity picture here of Charles Schultz with Snoopy.
Right.
And it says, Peanuts creator needs a smile from our family of readers.
Yeah, that's crap. That's always crap when they do that.
Now, Inquirer readers can help him draw a big boost in his battle to recover his health.
blah, 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 and then it goes on.
That's what they do, a la Kathy Lee, to make themselves feel good about, you know, on the next page, you know, saying somebody's got a fat butt.
Then it goes on to say what's wrong with him, and that he's got, you know, his cartoons in 2,600 newspapers, battling his health crisis. It would be wonderful for him to receive cards from National Enquirer readers.
Why do I picture he gets those cards and it goes into like a big oil drum that's already lit and burning?
Absolutely.
I remember that I hate that publication. Didn't they publish where I lived one time? Yeah, screw those people.
Casanova Con Man, Seinfeld Strange Love Life.
Oh, what's my strange love life? Anything interesting there?
Ex-girlfriend tells all.
About Jerry's habits?
Yeah, let me see. Hold on. Let me see if there's anything good in here. The comic's bedroom is no laughing matter. Jerry's fitted it with floor-to-ceiling mirrors. Sometimes his preparations for love were awkward. He chewed a lot of gum. This is his ex-girlfriend talking now. Angela Hickerson. And they have a picture of her.
Hickerson?
They have a picture of her with Jerry.
That looks like his type.
Right? Mm-hmm. Here they are at some fundraiser, and here they are having dinner and chatting. So she's a real girlfriend.
Right.
An ex-girlfriend, I should say.
Anything other than, you know, chronic gum chewing?
Hold on. He chewed a lot of gum and would take the gum out only before kissing me. He's very caring and trying to please, but you're always thinking to yourself, I'm making love with Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, God.
We seldom went out because he feared being out a lot. He feared being around a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So our dates consisted of him taking me up to the rooftop of his apartment for romance.
Yeah, come on up here. I'll set a table and we'll eat pizza.
His idea of getting wild was for me to bake him a homemade apple pie that really turned Jerry on.
Mm, boy, sounds like a fun lover. You know, this to me, there's credibility here, I think.
But Jerry could really be turned off as easily. Jerry is a neat freak. If I put down a glass of water in his apartment without a coaster, it would make him nuts.
Get out of here.
And Jerry has a bizarre fascination with numerology, and he would talk about it on our dates. He had a deep interest in how the meaning of numbers related to his life.
How about 69? You bake me that pie, and that'll be your number tonight.
Let me see. Here's about their first date.
Okay.
Jerry's on a date with another girl. And he meets this girl, who's writing the article in the Enquirer. He meets her at a local club. Later at the club, Jerry put a move on her, and they exchanged words. Later, Jerry asked if he could take me home. We went to the roof of his building to talk, and at about 5:30 a.m., he walked me home. You know, that must be Jerry Seinfeld's move when he picks up a girl.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's done it with married women, too.
Mm-hmm. Come up to the rooftop. Look at this. Manhattan skyline. It's me, Jerry Seinfeld.
This is where it all happens. Now, I know it's only 4 a.m., but why don't you bake me a pie, and you'll be number one.
Seinfeld left New York the next day, but called Angela as soon as he got back. When they met at his apartment, he opened the door, looking fresh and handsome in beige khakis and a navy blue shirt.
Look how pretty I am, but don't put that drink down without a coaster.
He offered me a glass of water immediately. After a while, we went to his roof, where we sat on a bench, and he put his arms around me.
La, la, la.
That night was our first intimate night together. It was wonderful.
Listen, I'm going to make love to you, but I must get a lot of gum. Choo-choo-choo.
Jerry is such a passionate person and so romantic. The comic left for L.A. the next day. When he returned in December, 7 months later, he called Angela and said, we had 3 weeks of heaven together.
It was heaven, and now I've covered all my furniture with plastic.
Let me see. Then he met his new girlfriend at a gym, the girl that he's with now, the girl that he's going to marry.
Yeah, Jerry strikes me as the kind of guy that would work at gym.
Three months later, Jerry called me and left a voicemail message saying it was over.
It's over. You've left one too many glasses of water on my furniture.
Oh, no, but then she says she and Jerry got together one more time in mid-October.
Oh, boy, time to buy more gum.
I had an idea he was still seeing Jessica, so I wouldn't let him go all the way with me this time. Still, we were intimate. And
is this another one of Jerry's 16-year-old dates or something like that?
The girl looks 21, maybe.
Right, 21. Wow.
Still, we were intimate, and he was acting like he was single. Jerry called me after that night and said we were going to get together the following Saturday.
I love you.
So here's the move. He's out with a girl.
Right.
He meets this girl.
Yep.
The girl who's writing the article.
Yeah, he dumps the other girl, like, on that date and takes this girl home.
Right. He picks this girl up. He takes her up to the rooftop.
Does his rooftop routine, which he's done a million times.
He bangs her.
Okay.
Then he continues seeing her on and off.
Meanwhile, pursuing the other woman that he meets at the health club.
So he meets another girl. He calls this girl up and he leaves her a voice message saying, hey, it's over. But then 3 weeks later, he calls her up and he takes her up to the roof and tries to bang her again, although this time she says, no,
right,
we can't go all the way.
You know what I call that? I call that a successful bachelor.
So, let me see. So then, when they were up on the rooftop and they got intimate and Jerry was acting like he was single, Jerry called after that and said, we were going to get together the following Saturday. But Jerry never called Angela back.
You've been stood up.
And she learned of his engagement in the newspaper. I couldn't believe it. This is so uncharacteristic of Jerry. He's usually very organized and plans everything, but this is so unplanned.
But wait, Mulva.
I hope he doesn't regret his decision.
Jerry, the life of Jerry. I do buy that thing about a neat freak. I've heard that before.
Well, I think it's 100%. I mean, there are pictures of this girl with Jerry out on the town.
And sure, a clean freak. I understand there's a specific collection of cleaning products he has to have with him at all times.
Like Elvis's kit?
Yeah, sort of like that. And he washes his hands constantly. He washes everything constantly.
Now, listen, here's my move.
How clean could a Manhattan rooftop be?
I take the girl to the rooftop. And then I pork her, George. I pork her good.
Hey, this is great. You know, when I finish this entire pack of juicy fruit gum, we are going to pork.
Okay, time out. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show. It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Timmy O'Balbonnet to tell you more.
This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show comes to Element, right in my hometown, Washington, D.C. Element is right by the MCI Center at 714 6th Street Northwest. There's plenty of parking. Or take the red line to Gallery Place. Doors open at 5, show starts at 8. And you gotta be 21 to get in. For more info, 301-840-8793 or check out clubelement.com.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
For the girls, the less clothes, the better.
Don't miss it.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
I got a copy of a book here from Rolling Stone magazine. You know, once I get a book a list, it's like all of a sudden, I don't know if there's like a literary publicity agent out there who starts putting me on a list, so I get books of lists.
Right.
Now, did I ever see from Rolling Stone magazine, raves, what your rock and roll favorites favor.
Okay.
It's a book of lists from rock stars.
Cool.
And I'm just going through it, and generally, they suck. It's pretty bad.
Boring.
But there are some that are okay, like, what are life's little guilty pleasures? Well, they asked the guy Beck, you know, the singer.
Right.
And he says British humor.
Okay, that's his guilty pleasure.
He's lying about that.
Then they asked Jerry Halliwell, who, of course, is Ginger Spice.
Mm-hmm. What is her guilty pleasure?
Eating an entire ham? When you're dying to go for a pee, when you get there and have that pee...
But that's not a guilty pleasure. That, once again, she misspeaks like Beck did. That is not a guilty pleasure.
Okay, here is Sporty Spice's guilty pleasure.
Doing it with as many men as possible.
When it's freezing cold and your wee is dead warm.
So they both have the wee.
Yeah, right.
So there's guilt involved there, and they're both talking about urine. That is something to really think about.
Weird. Let me see. The new album by the Spice Girls, Golden Showers.
Oh, especially when it's cold outside.
Lenny Kravitz, a nipple piercing, says doesn't hurt at all. Actually feels quite good.
It'd be a guilty pleasure.
Says he's had his nipples pierced 18 times.
Oh.
How would you have any room left after 17?
I would assume he's had them done over and over again.
Yeah, okay, let me see.
They wouldn't all be hanging from his, like, breast.
Let me see.
Jingle, jangle, jingle. Hey, are those the Clydesdales? No, it's Lenny Kravitz coming down the street.
Let me see. Prince. Okay, here's a good one.
Prince has a guilty pleasure?
Prince. I'm, like, obsessed with pornography. Period.
Oh, there you go.
Hardcore anything, except for child porn. It has to be adults. More than two adults. I like Ed Powers' series called Dirty Debutantes. He finds normal, good-looking girls to have sex with. Not like made-up girl with girls with big boobs and all that. He finds normal women to have normal sex, and it's hysterical. The women know what's going on. He has conversations with them. It's so funny. When he actually does have sex with them, he says, be realistic, don't lie about anything. There are 1,000 of these tapes. I own volumes 1 to 900. That's Prince.
That is pretty intense.
Or whatever his name is now.
The artist that doesn't want to be known as the artist formerly known as.
Okay, then you go to the category, let's get it on. Okay? Let me see. Trying to find sex. This is about sex. Joni Mitchell, who cares? Alanis Morissette. Okay, Steven Tyler.
All right.
From Aerosmith.
Yep.
Steven Tyler says, I've always been sexually active since I was 7.
Well, he's the lead singer of Aerosmith.
If to climax is what the term means, to climax, then why don't we do it all the time? We should be doing it 3 or 4 times a day. It's what we all should be doing.
That's what Steven Tyler says?
Mm-hmm. And then Axl Rose says, I can't get enough women, and I don't see the same thing that other men see in men. I'm not gay, but that's hypocritical of me because I'd rather see 2 women together than just about anything else. That is my personal favorite thing in the world.
Thank you, Axel.
Okay.
Both skinny rockers, you know. You know, maybe that's the way to stay thin. They love their sex.
Okay, then Janet Jackson. She did this whole big thing about sex isn't just fire and heat. It's natural beauty, blah, blah, blah. Big long guy you drive for me. Sex has become a celebration, a joyful part of the creative process.
Ah, creativity. Means she's creative in bed.
Shut up. Get on your back.
Shut up.
Let me see. John Popper of Blues Traveler.
Not John Pop.
Right, no. John Popper of Blues Traveler.
Ah, I'd like to know John Pop's views on sex, too.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, John Pop had this to say.
You're not going to believe this.
He said, John, what about your sex life?
Incredible.
Ah, very good. Nice to hear him. He's here.
Okay, John Popper says, now they ask him about sex.
What's the challenge for him in sex? Finding his sexual...
No, listen to the answer. What's the best sex you ever had? And his answer is, Pete Luger's Steakhouse in Brooklyn has the best steak on earth.
Yeah.
It's like really good sex. A rare and much sought-after commodity. Oh, there's sex. There's even real sex. But sex is not as good as Peter Luger's Steakhouse steak.
There you go. That's good. Well, I've heard, you know, many people refer to certain food items as just like sex. First time when I was in college, I was up in a diner, and I'd never had French fries with gravy, and, you know, one of my fraternity brothers, hey, try the gravy on the fries. It's sex. That's what he said. He said it's sex.
But which would you rather have, sex or French fries with gravy on them?
Well, right now, sex. Because I'm on that... You know, that diet you recommend.
Okay, but let's just say, take diet notwithstanding.
Throw the diet out? Like at this one diner in upstate New York?
Yeah, let's say like sex with, for instance, Leah Remini. If you had Leah Remini naked in front of you, and you also had a big plate of French fries from your favorite diner covered in gravy.
Now?
Now, and forget the diet, forget your wife.
Oh, not being married?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, well, now you've taken me, now I have to give you the answer.
Yeah.
You've directed me to the only answer I can give you, which is sex with Leah Remini.
Ah, good man.
That's it. But if you take the diet out, you take the, you know, both things being equal.
Good man.
Absolutely. However, I wouldn't be able to have sex with Leah Remini, so, but I probably wouldn't break the diet either. That's how boring my existence has become. I could not have either one of those guilty pleasures.
Here's what Art Garfunkel says, his guilty pleasure. Art Garfunkel.
Sabotaging his own career?
He says, I think Nicole Kidman is hot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
So's my wife. But I mean, Nicole Kidman is really hot.
Oh, and that's in a book. I bet she's happy about that.
To die for. That is one horny movie, if you ask me. Then they ask Katie Lang. Speaking of Katie Lang.
Right.
We'll get you hot. Kate Jackson from Charlie's Angels. The smart butch one.
Oh, God. Well, that's a good answer. You know, why do I think that? You know, I think she planned that answer and she studied it and then she spit it out.
A lot of lesbians say that Kate Jackson was their inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. Always the most popular angel with the lesbian community.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we have Nights to Remember. And this is where they asked performers about their best gigs and their worst gigs ever.
Let me see. Q-Tip, you ever heard of them?
Mm.
Dave Matthews, who cares? Oh, Beck. Okay. Beck says, I played a gig in the Swiss Alps at a snowboarding convention. Red Bull, this energy sports fuel drink, sponsored the whole event. It has an ingredient believed to be bull testicle extract.
Mmm.
We went way off our tour route, had to take two planes and missed a night's sleep. We got up there and there's no snow. It's all mud. You couldn't walk. So you had 5,000 disgruntled snowboarders tanked up to the max on bull testicle extract. Of course, these strapping brutes were made to wait in the mud and the rain before coming to the tent for the show. When I got up to play, I see a 40-foot gap between us and the audience. They still managed to nail us with thousands of empty cans of Red Bull.
Oh, man.
After a few songs, I wasn't playing my guitar. I was using it to bat cans back into the crowd of disgruntled fans. We gave up after three songs.
Oh, man, that had to be rough.
Okay, let me see. Steve Miller.
I like the worst gigs, I guess. Now, I thought it was supposed to be the best gig. Are you saying the worst gig of all time?
Nights to Remember.
Okay.
It's either the best gigs or the worst gigs. I'm not reading you the boring stuff about how great some gigs were.
Right.
Let me see. Noel Gallagher of Oasis. Playing live's an effing thing you should effing enjoy. I don't stand there and feel effing self-conscious. It's like effing. I know what I'm effing doing. You might as well effing enjoy it, because every effing gig might be your last effing gig anyway. I guess they just put that in there because he said the F word so
much. Sure,
that's
so
what articulate.
That was. Yeah, very much so.
Well, let me see.
He paints with the language.
Trent Reznor? Who cares? Tommy Lee?
Yeah, what is Tommy,
okay, Tommy
yeah.
Lee? Okay, the first Motley Crue reunion show with Vince Neil back in the band was a month and a half ago in Tampa. It was like the first time, oh, dude, in 6 years or something, Vince said it on stage, and I was like, F, has it been that long? There was like 35,000 effing drunk shirtless guys and girls out there going crazy. It was like, oh, man, I missed this. Then Neil pulled out his...
Right.
And peed all over the crowd.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. Welcome back to touring.
That's a night to remember.
Hey, Motley Crue. Gotta love them.
Okay, let me see. Hold on. Oh, fans. This is where people write about their fans.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not one of your fans.
Okay. And it's all bull.
Mm-hmm.
Alanis Morissette. The reaction of the audience is amazing and open. It's comforting and bittersweet. To know I'm not the only one that's gone through these things. Is it me, or is this music not about moshing? Please, F you. Neil Diamond.
Song blue.
You don't realize the value of your fans until something wakes you up. I had surgery, and I got a bunch of letters and nice things from people. I was down and out, and it was important.
That surgery was actually to surgically attach the sequin jacket to his body.
Leanne Rimes.
Okay,
Leanne Rimes. I got a plaque from a fan once. It was cool. It was a little mirrored plaque that had my name on it. The kind of thing you'd hang on a wall. It said Leanne Rimes 96 and had my album cover in the middle. It was cool. It was sweet.
Ah.
And you know that in real life, she took it and threw it in the dumpster. Please.
Let me remember. What was that thing I got on the bus one time we threw away?
Yeah,
okay, put that in the book.
Liz Evandros. Girls send me nasty letters all the time.
Sure, he's Luther.
I've also gotten people who paint nude self-portraits for me.
We've never gotten any of those.
I keep them in a certain place I have for displaying stuff like that. It's really nice.
The Luther room.
So these are people who send pictures of themselves.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I know it's the Luther room. He probably takes people down to show them.
Let me see. Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit says, it's killer to affect people. People come up to you and say, dude, it's that song, those lyrics. I understand our fans are young. The status thing as far as girls is cool. We get effed all the time.
Knew it.
Okay. Lou Reed. Neil Diamond. Why is Neil Diamond in this thing so much?
Because he's an icon.
Bo Diddley, Paula Cole. Blah. Them and they have chapter. Every picture tells a story. The show that rocked the world, where they write about bands that they love. Nice threads. My favorite things.
Now, who's in my favorite things? I like that.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay.
I love the letter P. I guess he's being funny there.
He go to the Al Franken School of Comedy?
Noel Gallagher, again of Oasis. He writes, I love annoying people. It's a Manchester thing. It's a trait. I just love pissing people off.
Be Manchester, he's an English dude.
Right. He's one of those dudes from Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Herb Albert.
Herb Albert, who was a wonderful guest on this show many moons ago.
Honesty is the universal language.
That's what he's supposed to say.
Please, F you. Steven Tyler says, playing with Joe Perry really gets me off. I'm not gay, but I could be for him.
Ah, very nice to say.
Steven Tyler.
That's great.
Beck, Pat Smear, who's in Foo Fighters, Sean Combs, I love being a role model. Please. John Lennon. All right, here's what John Lennon said.
Favorite things?
Favorite things. If I could be an effing fisherman, I would. It's not fun being an effing artist. You know what it's like, effing writing. It's torture. I read about Van Gogh, Beethoven, any of those effers. If they had psychiatrists, we wouldn't have had their great works of art. Those bastards are sucking us to death. That's all we can do. We're like circus animals. I resent being an effing artist. In that respect, I resent performing for effing idiots who don't know anything. I can't feel.
Caught him on a bad day.
I'm the one that's effing feeling because I'm the one that's expressing. They live vicariously through me and other artists. We are the ones. I'd sooner be in the effing audience, really, but I'm not that stupid.
Wow, that was John Lennon. Bitter John Lennon.
Very angry John Lennon.
Boy, imagine all the people.
Well, I love that.
Man, oh man, not one of his more peaceful moments had to be with Yoko at that point.
This is the Don and Mike Show. He's the Don and Mike Show.
Muster up with Batman, for they are the harbingers of your doom. Can you feel it coming? The ice cold of space. Ah, at 30,000 feet, your heart will freeze and beat no more. After you're frozen, your icy tomb will plummet back to Gotham.
Freeze, you're mad. This capsule explodes, it'll slaughter thousands.
Freeze, well.
This will be the last thing I read. TV, favorite TV shows of your snars, okay?
Good, okay.
Stevie Nicks. I love Star Trek The Next Generation.
How about that, huh? Stevie Nicks and you share that.
I love Jean-Luc Picard.
There you go.
Let me see. David Yao of the Jesus Lizard. I never heard of him. Oh, Noel Gallagher of Oasis again.
Mm-hmm.
John Cleese is hilarious.
He's right about that.
Pat Smear of Foo Fighters says Chris Rock is the funniest man I've ever seen.
Another guy that's got good taste.
Would agree with that. Mixmaster Mike of the Beastie Boys says, I love Ultraman, the Japanese TV show.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Let me see. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day says, I love Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Moby says, The Simpsons is like The Economist of animation. Except for The Simpsons, we don't have any passionate TV at all.
Okay, as somebody who loves The Simpsons.
Okay, Jay-Z, the rapper. This will probably surprise you. Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
That's his favorite show.
Hmm.
Ozzy.
Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy Osbourne's favorite TV show.
The Test Pattern.
Says, the effing OJ trial. That's his favorite TV show ever.
That is a good Ozzy Osbourne answer right there.
Carney Wilson.
Oh.
That's the one who just had her stomach stapled,
yes,
right?
I know that one. Emerald Live.
She says no. Ellen. And VH1 pop-up video.
Okay, boring.
Gwen Stefani from No Doubt. She likes Melrose Place and 90210. Grantley Phillips of Grantley Buffalo says, if I were the Unabomber, Ed McMahon's home would be number one on my list.
Oh, my God, such hostility.
For wasting trees, for wasting my time. He's actually a fine gentleman, probably. Him and Dick Clark. I guess it would be Dick Clark who I would kill first. I liked the part of American Bandstand where he sat there with the audience like he really knew what they wanted.
Okay.
Boy, such a bitter memory of Dick Clark.
A lot of very angry rock stars in that book.
But who would be the angriest? The guy you wouldn't expect, Mr. John Lennon.
That was definitely
the angriest quote you read out of
that. They dropped the F-bomb more than anybody did.
That's right. I'd switch places with them in a minute, but they're effing stupid.
Incredible! Right, you're right about that, Johnny.
Hold on. We got someone else. Someone's got a list. Hello, Don on my show.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Right there.
How are you?
We're great, thank you.
I have a list for you.
A list of what?
I have the top 15 Star Wars euphemisms for masturbation.
Top 15 Star Wars euphemisms
for masturbation.
Give me one, and I'll tell you if I want to hear the rest of them.
Oh, I have to pick the best one?
Yeah. Just so we can gauge if the list is airworthy.
There's 15. I'll give you number 10.
Okay.
Unsheathing the meat saber.
Unsheathing the meat saber.
That first one's pretty good.
All right. Why don't you give us a couple then? Go ahead.
All right. Start number 15?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Shooting womp rats in Beggar's Canyon.
Shooting what?
Womp rats.
See, I don't know enough about Star Wars to know if that's funny or not.
All right, well, they get better.
Okay.
Number 14 is grooming the Wookiee.
Grooming the Wookiee.
Okay, that's not bad.
Number 13 is making the Kessel Run.
That's too inside.
That's too much of a reference.
I don't get that one.
Number 12, polishing Vader's helmet.
Polishing Vader's helmet. Okay, all right.
Everybody can get that.
I got that one.
Number 11 is evacuating Tatooine.
That's maybe the first really funny one I've heard.
Evacuating Tatooine.
I gave you number 10. Number 9 is releasing the special edition.
Again, not bad. Not bad.
Number 8 is jumping to the light speed.
Jumping to the light speed. Yeah, that's weak.
Yeah. Number 7, communicating with Red Leader 1.
All right, Red Leader 1, I guess, is another inside Star Wars.
Was that a period joke or something?
Perhaps, yeah.
Ew. Number 6 is lightsaber practice with Captain Solo.
Okay,
Captain Solo, good.
That's funny just because of the Captain Solo.
Yeah, I'm not saying the general Star Wars
number
knowledge.
Number 5 is tinkering with the R2 unit.
Okay.
Number 4, manually targeting the Rebel base.
All right. That's kind of like a play on the other one, though. What's number 3?
Number 3 is performing the Jedi hand trick.
All right. Okay.
Number 2, scratching Yoda behind the ears.
You might have a winner there.
Evacuating Tatooine was pretty good, too.
I know. I should have saved that one for last. Number 1, Star Wars euphemism for masturbation is test firing the Death Star.
Oh, got to go with scratching Yoda behind the ears.
Yeah, I still like evacuating Tatooine the best, though.
We have a massive evacuation on the way right now. Massive. All right, we thank you.
You're welcome, guys. I love you.
All right, love you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Not bad. There were a few in there that were pretty good.
You know, generally, I'm not a big fan of, of Letterman's top 10 list now and stuff, but I'm a fan of just a good old-fashioned list.
And we all knew Tatooine because it came up during the show.
When Rob was interviewing all of the idiots that were in line for the last Star Wars movie.
Mos Eisley on Tatooine.
That was one of the trivia questions,
That's the port city where the cantina is.
Right. I like the mysticism.
Evacuating Tatooine.
That guy. Gotcha. We got a break, and we will be right back.
Again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.